You'll love the things a free $50 cash card can buy. So cash in on summer with Comfort Inn or any of these choice hotels. Earn a free $50 cash card when you stay three separate times. Book now at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE.
News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Though her confirmation is pretty much a lock, Republicans on the committee, led by Jeff Sessions, have been attacking Sotomayor for weeks. He says she is outside the mainstream of legal thinking and bristles at the notion she has empathy.
Empathy is great, perhaps, if you're the beneficiary of it.
This is one of the biggest red herrings I've ever heard.
Democrat Pat Leahy, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, says Republicans are grasping at straws to find a reason to oppose Sotomayor, who he says is clearly a well-qualified nominee.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. Perhaps no one will monitor the Sotomayor hearings more closely than the man who nominated her. President Obama touched on the legacy factor when he announced his first high court nominee.
The members of our highest court are granted life tenure, often serving long after the presidents who appointed them.
Legal scholar Jonathan Turley summarizes Sotomayor's challenge at the hearing.
The only thing standing between her and confirmation is herself.
White House advisors have spent weeks preparing the judge for the hot seat hearings, and the president's confident she will be confirmed.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. Conservative commentators such as Cleta Mitchell say they're concerned Sotomayor is the kind of judge who legislates from the bench.
If I'm a legislator, I bring all my background and all my empathy and all my prejudices and ideology.
But Mitchell says judges must not. However, in a liberal think tank Third Way, Rachel Lazar admires Sotomayor.
I think what makes her perfect is that she really gets the effect of the law and knows what it's like to be a real person.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
A new CBS News poll finds support for Sotomayor shrinking, though 6 in 10 Americans still don't have an opinion of her. The two men are being held in connection with the Florida panhandle murders of Bird and Melanie Billings, a couple who'd adopted 12 children. Escambia County Sheriff David Morgan says the motive for the crime remains a mystery.
They opened their home and their fortune to children with special needs, with autism and Down syndrome, and also children that had been born of drug-ridden mothers. And so that was one of the most shocking things about this case was everyone initially asked themselves, why this family?
Formal charges have now been filed by German authorities against John Demjanjuk. The 89-year-old faces 27,900 counts of being an accessory to murder when he was allegedly a Nazi concentration camp guard. Demjanjuk, who denies the charges, was deported from the U.S. in May. The British scientists say when it comes to the Battle of the Bulge, it's like father, like son. Reporter Larry Miller is on the CBS Health Watch in London.
Researchers at the UK's Peninsula Medical School found role modeling is the problem. Obese mothers were 10 times more likely to have obese daughters. Overweight fathers were 6 times more likely to have obese sons. But that didn't happen when crossing gender lines. For example, heavy fathers did not tend to have heavy daughters. Researchers suggest that to cut child obesity, target the parents first. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
It's summertime, and with more Americans in a traveling mood, pump prices keep falling.
Gasoline prices dropped significantly for the first time since December. Regular grade is now $2.56 nationally. It's down a dime in 2 weeks.
The Monday morning edition of the CBS World News Roundup, where it's 4 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Nearly 800 acres in western Colorado near the Utah border are being allowed to burn. The wildfire was sparked last week by lightning. Officials say it's beneficial to wildlife habitat.
It takes that fuel that's built up over the last 100 years or so, gets that out of there, that brush, and what happens is then right away that brush and the grass and the plants start coming right back. That new growth is very nutritious, so the deer and elk and other wildlife just love it.
David Boyd with the Bureau of Land Management says the blaze is burning about 30 miles northwest of Grand Junction. Gasoline prices have followed 10 cents over the past 2 weeks to $2.55 a gallon nationally. Analyst Trilby Lundberg.
The work commute is what causes gasoline demand. In fact, holidays and vacations actually reduce it. So we have the most serious hit to our demand coming from our poor economy, and this is pulling down the price.
In Colorado, the average price is $2.44 a gallon. Sports All-Star Brad Hopp with a game-ending double, helping the Rockies past Atlanta 8-7. They're off now for the All-Star break and back in action Thursday in San Diego. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker has your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where volume is building a little bit for southbounders on I-25 downtown, but no significant delays yet. Checking on those CDOT cameras, I-70 looks okay, right around Chambers as well. Now, if you're cruising out to DIA, picking somebody up, dropping somebody off, catching an early flight yourself, here's some good news. Pena Boulevard's wide open. Security wait time's hovering around 5 minutes, and there's plenty of parking spaces. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Don't get ripped off when you sell your gold.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
After a legal battle which lasted almost a full year, Project Runway is set to return to screens in August. The main difference will be its location. Instead of airing on Bravo, Season 6 of Runway will have a new home, Lifestyle. Despite its new location, the show promises fans the exact same show they know and love. The new producers or network bosses didn't want to change a thing.
Gentlemen.
Presenting the one, the only.
Entertaining.
Actress Demi Moore has reportedly offered Scottish singing sensation Susan Boyle close to $50,000 to sing at her and Ashton Kutcher's fourth wedding anniversary later this year. A source close to the couple has revealed that they think that Susan is absolutely brilliant and that she would eat Ashton alive if she got her hands on him.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
24 world-renowned chefs, each battling for the title Top Chef Master. Yes, Bravo's Top Chef has a spin-off show, and it's just as tasty as the original. This time, though, the chefs don't have to live together. They just have to cook together, against each other, navigating waters similar to those experienced by their less experienced Top Chef predecessors. These guys are pros, though, so it should all be smooth sailing, right?
Indianapolis and the Jersey Shore. So it was a long and strange trip, and I reversed the whole trip. We drove from Denver to Indianapolis with my dog, Monty, dropped him off at the in-laws outside of Indianapolis. It's actually Lafayette, Indiana, and then flew to the Jersey Shore, spent a couple of days with my family, and then went up to New York and over to China, spent about 3 weeks in China, and then reversed the whole process. So yesterday I rolled into Denver in my car with my dog at around 3 p.m., and here I am on the radio. I'll be here again today and tomorrow, and then I got to hit the books to actually write a book that I'm contracted to write. It is really, I got to tell you something, the trip to China has kind of blown my mind. Like, it's kind of like my brain kind of exploded at one point on the trip. And before we get to our news update, I'll just give you a little rundown of what was so mind-blowing. We started out in Hong Kong, which is just a fantastic place to go if you ever have a chance to go there. Super modern city, built on a huge mountain, so the city goes up this really, really steep slope. I mean, it's kind of like, imagine you look out on the Front Range there. Imagine if they actually built Denver on the mountain, on the actual Front Range, and all the buildings were built, if not on stilts, then on supports to keep them up against this very, very steep incline. That's Hong Kong, a super modern city. You get there, you know, you think, hey, China's not so different from the United States. You know, it's kind of like, you know, this, you know, then Hong Kong was, of course, run by the British for years and years and years. It seems kind of this weird Western, like a Western city with a really, really Chinese influence, kind of like a big Chinatown, right? Really, like a big, you know, American-style Chinatown. I mean, that's probably not a great description, but it's... That's what it kind of feels like in comparison to. So then we get on the plane after 3 days in Hong Kong, and we go to a place called Guiyang. Guiyang is the capital of the poorest province in interior China, called Guizhou. That's the name of the province. Now, you hear all about China when you read, you know, Tom Friedman, you read Newsweek, you read The Economist, you read American op-ed pages. Oh, China, the economic miracle. China has lifted 200 million people out of poverty, supposedly. You hear that China is like this you know, this Blade Runner style super modern place that's got its share of problems, but it's, you know, it's the future. Well, if China is the future, then we don't have a future. Because when we stepped off the plane in Guiyang, remember, the coastal cities that the American pundit class writes about in China are where the minority of Chinese people actually live. About 200 million people in China live in the coastal cities. About 1.1 billion, that's billion with a B, live in the interior. They live in places like Guiyang. And when we got off the plane in Guiyang, it really felt like we had stepped onto a set of a post-apocalyptic sci-fi movie. I'm talking about, and by the way, Guiyang is supposed to be is I think China's 130th largest city, so a relatively small city, you know, on par with Toledo, right? Except Guiyang has 5 million people. So get that for a second. China's 130th largest city is about 10 times the size of Denver. You get off, I mean, it is unbelievably crowded. It is, the air is chokingly polluted. I was expecting in China this state-run government, a big presence of the government. There's no discernible laws in interior China of anything. Our bus, we took one bus going over to see the university there, where the entire time was spent, the bus driver was honking at everybody, going about 70 miles an hour. And I realized that there really are no laws in China when, at one point, he was frantically honking for the police car to get out of his way so he could speed by the police car. Really just the set of a post-apocalyptic sci-fi movie. Guiyang is a mining city, coal mining city. And we spent a week there, and it was just, you know, the amount of poverty you see there, the amount of environmental pollution you see there, and you know, the juxtaposition between a place like Hong Kong and Guiyang, it's just mind-boggling. And even in Guiyang, you know, you see a gleaming new Hummer or a gleaming new Mercedes drive by, you know, a burned out tenement where 10 people are living to a room. It's the rampant level of inequality. It's incredible. And then we went to Beijing, which, if you really want a manageable taste of China, and by manageable I mean one that's not going to be as physically challenging as interior China, I would suggest Beijing. And by physically challenging, I mean, you know, in Guiyang and in much of China, you know, the terms hygiene and sanitation, these are relative terms. It's a regular occurrence to see parents letting their children defecate in the street. Animals everywhere, dogs, you know, everywhere, stray dogs. It's not a Western experience, and it can really blow your mind. We stayed with some Peace Corps volunteers, and I won't lie, some of the creature comforts or lack thereof started to get a little difficult. I spent the entire time trying to avoid having to go to the bathroom in a squat toilet, just because I was afraid that I would fall in. There are some horror stories. Squat toilets, as an aside, a squat toilet is, you got to like kind of sit like a catcher, or squat like a catcher over basically a hole. And I've been told, I managed to avoid having to do it, but I've been told it's quite a balancing act. My buddy who gave us a tour around there said when he first did it, he really almost fell in, and he's almost fallen in a couple times. And so that's the kind of thing that you got to get used to when you're in China. And I would say that, you know, Beijing is a place, it's more culturally in terms of character, Chinese than Hong Kong because it wasn't occupied by the British. But you can get Western amenities. We really, really enjoyed Beijing. I really, really enjoyed the whole trip, but it was certainly mind-blowing. And I consider it a personal victory that I avoided the squat toilet.
You going to make it a yearly trip, Dave?
No. I would say it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Once-in-a-lifetime experience. I'll tell you something. You come back to the United States after a trip like that, and you really learn to appreciate what you have. And by that I mean everything from Western creature comforts that we take for granted, for instance, a regular toilet, to, you know, democratic freedoms. We were relatively close to the region where those riots were happening. This is just an example. And we heard nothing about it. Nothing at all. Because China, as you may know, the government is serious about censoring the media there. Very, very serious. In the news, you hear a lot about China blocking the internet. And while we were there, China at certain points blocked Facebook, blocked Gmail, blocked Google. There's this, and then they turn it back on. It's selective. But it's beyond that. When you turn the TV on, you're only watching Chinese state-run TV. When you look at the newsstands, you're only looking at publications approved by the Chinese government. I didn't see a picture or hear about Barack Obama for 3 weeks. And we certainly didn't hear about the internal strife in China. Obviously, the Chinese Communist Party has an interest in not broadcasting to the rest of its country that there are parts of the country being destabilized. To that end, when we went to Tiananmen Square, our tour guide reminded us that most people in China know little to nothing about the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989, where roughly 3,000 people were killed. At first you're like, how could that be? It's like when most Americans think of China and China's history, they probably think of Tiananmen Square, and rightly so. But most Chinese people don't know much about it, if anything, because unless you were at Tiananmen Square, or perhaps knew somebody who was there, you didn't get any news about it on TV, in the newspaper, or on radio. And if you got any news, it was the Chinese government's story that, it was just a couple thousand people. It wasn't a couple million, which, of course, it was a couple million. Just a couple thousand people who were radical terrorists, and they had to be put down. So the people that you talk to in China, most of them either don't know about the Tiananmen Square massacre, or what they do know, they believe that the Chinese government valiantly put down a bunch of terrorists. And to the same extent, the big story in the China newspaper while we were there, the China state-run newspaper, was that the Dalai Lama is a terrorist. And China has actually appointed, the Chinese government has appointed a successor to the Dalai Lama. The Tibetan Buddhists have their own successor, but the Chinese government doesn't want him to have his own successor. So the Chinese government has actually appointed sort of a stooge successor. And the stooge successor, the story in the newspaper while we were there was that, you know, the stooge successor obviously is this like mouthpiece for the, and water carrier for the Chinese Communist Party. His big line was that, Tibet doesn't actually want democracy. The Dalai Lama is wrong. Most Tibetans don't want democracy. Right? I mean, this was passing for a major story that, you know, that most Tibetans don't want democracy. Most Tibetans, like their country being occupied by Chinese troops. I'm dead serious, and it sounds ridiculous, but I'm dead serious. So for the last 3 weeks, I've been in a really serious media vacuum. I barely heard about Michael Jackson dying. I certainly haven't heard anything about what's been going on here. But over the last 24 hours, I've tried to catch myself up, and I will do a news rundown here. I know the Sonia Sotomayor nomination is the big news here, and it is big news. But I'll tell you something. My perspective on what is big news and what is not, what is important and what is not, has radically changed. When you go to a place like interior China and you see the country that's supposed to be leading us into the 21st century still struggling with how to provide basic sewage and sewer systems to most of its population, you really realize sometimes that the debates we have here over things are so frivolous. All right. 620, I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'll be here Monday and Tuesday. Stick around. We're going to do a big news update, fill you in on what's going on at the beginning of this week. First, let's go to the guy I've heard has been a terrific fill-in host as well, John Turk.
Thank you, Dave.
I heard it's been going well, man.
Well, it's been fun, man. I get a little more comfortable each day, and you know, I think I'll be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, and then we'll see.
It's a grind.
It is a grind, man, and it's stressful, but, you know, we got great listeners, so it was pretty easy.
Yeah, you know, we do have great listeners. The listeners, I feel like the listeners have high standards.
They do.
You know? Big expectations.
Had to talk about Michael Jackson. Some people loved it, some people hated it.
You got to talk about my MJ dying. It's Michael Jackson.
I imagine you would have, too.
It's Michael Jackson, of course. You got to talk about Michael Jackson dying.
Yeah,
if I could name five people who impacted American culture, pop culture, entertainment culture over the last 20 years, you know, the top five.
He'd be in there.
You got to go with the two MJs, Michael Jackson.
Michael Jordan. Right. Who are your other three?
I don't know. The other three, the most impactful in pop culture. I don't know, maybe like Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody's seen every Spielberg movie. I don't know. I got to think about it. All right, let's get a traffic update.
You got it, Dave. Traffic's looking nice and light for us as we're kicking off the Monday morning commute. Just the normal jams on the highways around town. You will see some slower speeds southbound I-25, 104th Avenue down to 84th, dipping into the 30s there already. Also sluggish there after the I-70 curve heading into downtown. One small blip out there. Traffic lights out. Sheridan and Dartmouth. Power outage reported in the area, so do expect some delays there. Also getting busy in Aurora, southbound 225, first Colfax to Alameda, again from DTC Boulevard down to the I-25 interchange. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., then becoming mostly cloudy with a good chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 90s, though. Right now, 59 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
When you opened your business, there were a lot of people with you, standing by your side as you followed your dream. But now that you're established, who's with you? At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need help. With our business financial review, we'll evaluate your business's needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Hello? If your brain's not responding to the signals that you're full, you'll probably continue eating.
Come on, don't be that way.
Eating and eating some more. With Leptothin, you get the message. You are full.
Oh, finally.
Visit GoGetThin.com. That's GoGetThin.com. Or call 888-700-DIET. And for a limited time, buy two bottles of Leptothin and get one free.
Putting the magic into Irvin Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center's working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
Go solar now and get free electricity for a year. Learn how to take advantage of rebates and tax incentives that reduce the cost of solar by up to 60%. Now for the first time. Go solar with no down and no interest for up to 18 months with independent power systems same as cash financing. Learn how. Wednesday, July 15th, 7 p.m. at the Westerly Creek Elementary School. That's Wednesday, July 15th, 7 p.m. at the Westerly Creek Elementary School. RSVP at solarips.com/stapleton.
We're here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin today and Tuesday. Just back from China. One of the great things about China, you can get massages, really good massages, for pretty cheap. I got what's called a Chinese rub down. Now, don't get excited. But it was really a funny story. My friend tells me, my Peace Corps buddy says, get the rub down. I'm like, all right, get the rub down. You know, it's like the massager, it was a guy, by the way. You know, the regular massage, whatever. And then basically he proceeds to take first a towel on his fist and start basically scraping my entire body, like really hard, like rug burn style, all over my whole body to rip off any old dead flesh.
I've actually seen these done on Amazing Race,
dude,
and it looks painful.
I'm not kidding when I say I had a huge rug burn mark on my spine after this. But it gets more ridiculous.
Yeah, they're trying to exfoliate your skin, I think,
yes,
is what they're trying to
yes.
do. But...
So after tearing off the skin with just the towel, okay, then he proceeds to take this, like, handful, I'm not kidding, of sea salt. And then scrape that into you.
Oh,
right?
No, man. That doesn't sound like fun.
And then, to finish it off, he takes a bunch of lemons and squeezes them over you. Right?
So where you're cut, it burns, right?
You're like getting basted. And where you're cut, it hurts. And by the way, the one part of it that was real weird was that... other than the frank and beans, there was no part of the body that was off limits. Like, it was really out of control. Like, I started getting real uncomfortable when the undercarriage got basted. I'll just leave it at that. Chinese culture has a lot of things that that push the limits. You know, it's like kind of an extreme experience, an extreme vacation. And of course, my buddy. He was asked while we were there, he got the rub down. He was asked afterwards whether he wanted to go up onto the third floor and have, quote unquote, a rest, to take a rest. The third floor, we later found out, was a place where you can get more than your share of a happy ending. So he said no. He said no. I said no too, by the way. I was with Emily, so. Not that that would be the only reason I would say no. I said no. Anywho, 6:27. All right, let's do our our news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Like there's no attempt at a segue. All right, in news, Monday morning, big weeks. The confirmation hearings for Sonia Sotomayor begin this week. They should be contentious. You hear the Republicans girding to make this a big partisan fight. Seems like every single issue that comes up, the media narrative in the United States is that this is the time, this is the Republicans are going to use whatever is in front of them as the way to quote unquote reinvigorate their party. You know, they're going to dig in and fight health care. That's going to be the way they're going to reinvigorate their party. You know, they're going to fight the climate change bill. That's the way they're going to reinvigorate the party. Now it's, you know, Sonia Sotomayor, they're going to try to block her nomination. That's the way they're going to reinvigorate their party. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. L.A. Times reports that Democratic lawmakers criticized former Vice President Dick Cheney on Sunday for allegedly ordering that a CIA counterterrorism program be kept secret from congressional leaders. Top Democrats are now calling for a formal investigation into Cheney's behavior. Senator Dianne Feinstein, chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said that the administration may have actually broken the law. My only take on this is better late than never. And where have these people been? I mean, suddenly it's news. It's a shock. They're outraged and appalled and stunned that Vice President Dick Cheney was manipulating intelligence and telling the intelligence community to lie to Congress. I mean, this is a shock. This is a surprise. But again, better late than never. Wall Street Journal reports the Department of Homeland Security said Friday it was revising a program that authorized local police to enforce federal immigration law, a controversial aspect of U.S. border policy. Opponents said the program, known as 287G, was intended to identify criminal aliens, but instead has led to racial profiling. It allowed local police to identify and arrest illegal immigrants for minor infractions like a broken taillight. So the new guidelines sharply reduce the ability of local law enforcement to arrest and screen suspected illegal immigrants specifically on immigration-related issues. So this is not that police can't pull over undocumented workers for having a broken taillight. It specifically is about when police pull people over or deal with all sorts of regular local police jurisdictions, that they don't get into the business of enforcing federal immigration laws. And I think this makes sense. You know, we've got, this is why we have different agencies of government. You know, you got the local police got their hands full dealing with, you know, crime, right? The, you know, basic local crime, you know, property crime, et cetera, et cetera. You have an entire federal agency that's trained in enforcing immigration laws. You know, I mean, there's that distinction there because it requires different kinds of training. Financial Times reports the Obama administration is now open to the idea of taxing the wealthiest Americans to pay for health care reform. The House of Representatives passed is moving forward a bill that would pay for health care reform by putting a surcharge on the incomes of people making over $250,000 a year. The Senate has said, Senate leaders, Democrats, have said that they would prefer potentially to instead tax your health care benefits to pay for health care reform. The Senate Democrats arguing that it makes more sense to keep the revenue stream for a new healthcare program inside the healthcare arena. Obama, he's caught between a rock and a hard place on this, I think. Which is to say that he promised not to raise taxes on people making under $250,000 a year. So if he supports that position to tax healthcare benefits instead of paying for healthcare reform through a tax, a surcharge on people making over $250,000 a year, if he supports that Senate position, he will violate one of his biggest campaign pledges. And so now you see the administration, I think, recognizing that reality and I think moving in the right direction. Seems to me that it's fair, it's better, it's smarter economic policy to ask people making over $250,000 a year. I mean, you got to be pretty loaded to be making over 250 grand a year to pay an extra 1.5% so that we can all have a much more fair healthcare system. Huffington Post reports that Larry Summers, one of the top economic advisors in the White House, says that he does not think that the worst is over in the recession. Most economists now predicting unemployment is going to go up to 10% and probably higher. And this from News of the Weird. That muttered curse word that reflexively comes out when you stub your toe could actually make it easier to bear the throbbing pain, says a new study. Swearing is a common response to pain, but no previous research has connected the uttering of an expletive to the actual physical experience of pain. This new study from Keele University in England says that swearing, basically yelling, offers some kind of relief for pain when you get hurt. So, I don't know. Cursed with abandonment when you stub your toe. All right, 6:33. What we're going to do here is we'll continue the news update after the break. We're going to get into some local news, and that the local news is going to be the first topic of the day. You're not going to believe some of these stories coming out of the local news about Governor Ritter and the upcoming governor's race. I mean, this story. Actually, these two stories that I'm going to tell you about after the break involving Governor Ritter. I mean, you know, I get back to Colorado, you know, and I haven't checked into the local news in a while. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe Ritter's figured it out. Maybe he's, you know, he had a rough couple weeks before I left. Maybe he's figured it out. You know, these two stories, one about kind of him doing a big favorite taxpayer expense for his buddies, his cronies. Another one, he's in now starting kicking up this big fight between him and Diana to get. You know, this guy just, you know, he can't stop stumbling around. It's unfathomable. I don't really understand how this guy ever won. It only says to me that Bob Beaupre must be the biggest putz in the world. I mean, really, the biggest putz in the world to lose to somebody like Bill Ritter, who seems predisposed to stumbling all over himself. So stick around. I'll fill you in on those stories. 6:35 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. It's Monday, July 13th. I'll be here today and tomorrow. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
You got it, Dave. Traffic light's still out. Sheridan and Dartmouth got a power outage in that area. Expect small delays. Traffic on the freeway is still pretty good for us. Just seeing some slower speeds. Normal spots, southbound 225, first at Colfax again after Yosemite. If you're traveling southbound on 25, going to hit some snags in northbound at 104th, again near 38th Ave. And things are really starting to build westbound 76, heading into downtown after 74th Avenue. The forecast today, mostly sunny to start, and then after 2 o'clock, the clouds will roll in. Got some scattered thunderstorms with wind and rain as well this afternoon. Look for a high around 92 degrees. Right now, 59 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Looking for a way to extend your weekend in Vegas? From summer concert series to events and pool parties, find your excuse at visitlasvegas.com.
The Home Depot has new, lower prices on a wide selection of ceiling fans. There's a bunch under $100, including collections from...
When you're protected by Identity Guard, you will experience an unimpeded life.
That's right! I'm going to waste even more time noodling around on social networking sites.
Our company has helped over 20 million customers of leading U.S. banks actively manage their identity exposure. So we know what the dealio is.
I will fearlessly use my credit card in any restaurant, in any city, in any country, even Brooklyn.
Identity Guard scans everything from credit bureaus to public records, alerting you 24/7.
I am going to expose myself anytime I feel like it. Oh, wait, that didn't come out right.
And should the unthinkable happen, Identity Guard covers you with our $1 million loss insurance. It will make you want to say,
"Let's go, life! Let's go!"
Let's go, life, indeed. Identity Guard. Live a more streaming life. Call 877-ID-GUARD now or visit identityguard.com. That's identityguard.com.
From Consumer Reports and eBook Showdown, I'm Ernie Sprantz. If you're shopping for an ebook reader, as in portable electronic text display, two brands dominate, Sony and Amazon. For the July issue, Consumer Reports compared the Amazon Kindle 2 and Sony Reader PRS 700BC. To start, the Sony requires you to install software on your PC. It's not Mac compatible, and connect via USB to download new content. The Kindle is wireless, connecting automatically and at no extra cost to your Amazon.com account. It took an hour or so to set up the Sony, about 5 minutes for the Kindle. Both have a 6-inch black and white screen. Reading in a range of light conditions is generally fine, though on the Kindle, type and images are rendered more crisply and accurately. As far as navigation, the Sony has a slight edge. Its touchscreen made navigating content easier than with the Kindle's 5-way joystick. The only toss-up is the availability of titles. The Kindle store has 270 titles and counting, far more than Sony's e-book store. And bestsellers cost $9.99, a few bucks less than Sony's usual price. But Sony allows access to 500,000 free public domain titles. The bottom line? The Kindle is easier to use and more versatile. The Sony, worth considering for its touchscreen and nightlight. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
760.net.
On AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on Monday, July 13th. It's in the 60s right now, going up to 91 degrees. One thing I don't miss about China, among other things, I don't miss the humidity. Never miss the humidity. I mean, it was so humid there. One surprise about China, I'll tell you this. The food is damn good. The food in China is damn good.
Well, they got good spices, man. They can make things taste good with all their spices.
And the only surprise on the food front was I can't believe I didn't get, like, really sick. I mean, there is so much garbage and filth and excrement around all over the place, everywhere, that I'm really shocked that I did not get sick. There, actually, a Peace Corps guy that we stayed with in Guiyang, he had gotten amoebic dysentery from a rat that was living in basically under his sink. The reason I think I didn't get sick is because my friend told me one of the ways that the Chinese prevent getting sick from food is that they cook it to a crisp. I mean, everything is served to you in, like, boiling, simmering oil. And that created other gastrointestinal problems for me. I don't know. I have a weak stomach as it is, but I think it manages to get rid of the pathogens. So I didn't get straight up food poisoning. And the food is damn good there. It is damn good. All right, let's go back to our news update. As promised, we're going to do a local news update, and then we'll get into a little bit of a debate here. Local news. Josh Penry, the state senator, has ended months of speculation this weekend when at a Grand Junction rally he announced his candidacy for governor, promising to emphasize fiscal discipline and imbue the Republican Party with new energy, so says the Denver Post. Republicans need to say no to tax and spend programs, but must do a better job of proposing solutions to economic, transportation, and other woes, Penry said. This sets the stage for a three-way primary between Penry, his former boss, Scott McGinnis, the former congressman from the West Slope, and Evergreen businessman Dan Mays. One of the three will end up challenging, probably, Governor Bill Ritter, as there has been no primary so far to Ritter. Now, speaking of Ritter, as promised, check out these two stories. I think it's going to bum you out. Governor Bill Ritter turned down a $75 an hour offer from the Colorado Attorney General's office to handle legal matters regarding the disbursement of federal stimulus funds. Instead, Ritter hired his former law partners for up to six times that cost. The governor's lawyers told the Attorney General's office in February that they plan to hire outside counsel to help with the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money. Deputy Attorney General Jeff Blue told them his office was willing to do it, but his offer was rejected. A few weeks later, here's the big news. Ritter hired Hogan and Hartson through a no-bid contract. So far, the firm has been paid $40,000 from federal funds. Although the firm is working at a discount, lawyers there receive either $290 or $450 an hour, depending on who is working on the case. This is gross. This is really gross. So, just to review, the governor, according to the Denver Post, turned down an offer of the Colorado Attorney General's office to handle these legal issues surrounding the stimulus, to handle them at a cost of $75 an hour, and instead assigned the work using a no-bid contract to his former law partners at, what'd they say, at six times the cost to taxpayers. I mean, this is like a Dick Cheney story. This is really gross. Now, the other news Governor Ritter has been making, the Durango Herald reports that Ritter late last week, has asked Congresswoman Diana DeGette to back off her bill to regulate hydraulic fracturing, the environmentally hazardous process to drill for natural gas. Governor Ritter has asked Congresswoman DeGette to back off her bill to regulate that practice. And according to the Durango Herald, she has agreed. Now, we're going to try to get Congresswoman to get on the line to tell us why she's backed off her bill. Ritter's stance, according to the Herald, puts him at odds with environmental groups and county commissioners who passed a resolution to support federal regulation of fracking. Gwen, I think it's Lechelt of the Oil and Gas Accountability Project in Durango, said Colorado only recently passed local frack rules, and even those aren't a full solution because they don't require public disclosure. Frack fluids are pumped into wells to break up rock formations that trap gas. Their chemical compositions are a trade secret, and many people believe that those chemicals are leaking into local water supplies and pose a major, major health hazard. DeGette's bill was aimed at federally regulating those in light of Colorado and the West's generally weak regulations of those laws. Ritter weighing in on behalf of the oil and gas industry, which obviously doesn't want any disclosure, any federal regulation. One of the issues here is disclosure. We don't even know what's in these chemicals. There's a story that the Herald reported months ago about folks coming in from oil and gas workers coming in from sites, and they had the fluids on them, and the hospitals didn't know how to treat them because the companies wouldn't release details about what was even in the chemicals. And now Congresswoman DeGette has backed off her bill at the request of Bill Ritter, Governor Ritter, who is acting on behalf of the oil and gas industry. All right, some more local news. Frontier Airlines is going to go to court today to seek approval of a proposal to help the Denver-based carrier emerge from bankruptcy. Republic Airways, based in Indianapolis, has agreed to pay $108 million to basically buy Frontier and its subsidiary. So hopefully Frontier will survive. A Republican county commissioner, furious over increased auto registration fees, says he's willing to campaign alongside the Democratic governor for a 10 cents a gallon gasoline tax hike instead. So our budget problems coming to a head here. Governor Ritter pointed out this week that the legislature used to increase the gas tax and last did so in 1991. Ritter said no governor has asked for such a tax hike, but it seems that he might be considering one. I guess we'll see. The University of Colorado at Boulder Lab won a $42 million contract from NASA to develop a satellite sensor that will measure the sun's radiation, so that's good news. Energy giant, speaking of oil and gas, ExxonMobil is ramping up its natural gas operations in western Colorado's Paisans Basin, according to the Houston Chronicle. So the Colorado as an energy colony continues. More energy news. Gas prices in the Denver area are showing signs of a more sustained, if gentle, decline. As of Sunday, a gallon of regular gas locally costs an average of $2.44. Now, the topic of the morning, at least here in this first hour, is going to be, let's talk about Governor Ritter. And specifically, do you agree with him in his effort to back off Congresswoman Diana DeGette on this issue of natural gas regulations? Do you think that Congresswoman DeGette and environmentalists who want to regulate environmentally the drilling of natural gas, do you think that is a threat to the economy? Governor Ritter basically saying that efforts to federally regulate the way in which natural gas companies drill for natural gas would inhibit natural gas development in the state and therefore hurt our economy. Do you agree with him? Or do you say, look, the natural gas is here. It's worth a lot of money. It's going to be worth a lot of money. And that gives us a lot of leverage to say, hey, we're going to regulate how you, the oil and gas companies, drill for it because we know you want it. We know you're not going to curtail your drilling for it if if and when the price of natural gas remains stable and goes up. Right? To me, this is like, there is no economic risk here. The oil and gas in our state is in the ground. It's worth a lot of money. If one gas company doesn't want to drill on the terms that we set, the environmental terms that we set, you can bet another gas company is going to come in and say, we'll make money off that. We'll take the gas. We'll make a profit off that. Governor Ritter seems to be saying, no. He's buying the oil and gas industry's argument that if we say anything, if we regulate in any way the way these companies drill near our water supplies, it's going to hurt our economy. What's your take? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. We got open lines. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on Monday, July the 13th, just back from China. And maybe my environmental gene is flaring up here in an extra special way after coming back from China. I feel like I saw the sort of the end of the world in terms of the environment when I went to China. But I just can't believe we got a Democratic governor telling our Democratic congresswoman to back off a pretty common sense bill to simply regulate the way natural gas companies drill for gas and regulate what kinds of chemicals they can put into and near our water supplies. What do you think? 303-713-7600. All right, speaking of gas, which, of course, powers cars, let's go to John Turk, the traffic update.
Guzzling gas on northbound 225 now due to an accident blocking the left-hand lane around Mississippi. Seeing delays back past Parker Road, slow speeds on that side. And the opposing lanes also going to be bare for you from Parker Road down to the I-25 interchange. Also got traffic light malfunctions. Sheridan and Dartmouth, supposedly a power outage causing that problem. Rest of the freeway system is looking pretty normal for us as we're kicking off the Monday commute. Southbound I-25, busy 104th to 84th again from I-70 past Spear. Also seeing things build eastbound I-70, Brighton Boulevard up to York. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., mostly cloudy this afternoon with a good chance for scattered thunderstorms, highs in the lower 90s. Right now, 60 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Regional Air Quality Council urges you to take care of our summer air. You can reduce ozone pollution by riding your bike, walking, or taking public transit to work or school at least one day per week. For more information, go to ozoneaware.org.
The Northeast Interstate is quiet right now.
All of the things you expect from this radio station, traffic, free music, support for community events and causes, are in danger. If Congress passes the performance tax, go to SaveYourRadio.org and tell your congressman to just say no to the performance tax and support the Local Radio Freedom Act. A message from this station and the NAB.
My name is Marcia, and I'm an empath, so I can feel what other people are feeling. I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see clearly where relationships are going, where people's lives are going.
At California Psychics, we thoroughly test our psychics to make sure they're professional, have real gifts, and communicate clearly. Only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
California Psychics is legitimate because of the screening process that I personally went through. I had to give readings. They had the readings confirmed. They had different people check me out, and it was an intense process.
That's why California Psychics promises that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Just call 1-800-PREDICT, 1-800-PREDICT, or visit californiapsychics.com.
My purpose in life is to help other people to realize who they really are and to empower them to reach their goals.
Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit californiapsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
The moment you realized you could be your own boss was big. Now comes another moment. The economy has changed and you need guidance. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need someone by your side. With our free business financial review, we'll evaluate your banking needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We are a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Putting the magic into Urban Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. and is all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center is working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
Safe retirement question number 25. Want to know how to never lose your retirement and still take advantage of the stock market? Stop gambling with your retirement dollars. Tune in to the It's Time to Cover Your Assets show, Saturday afternoons at 12:30, right here on AM 760.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. On Monday, July the 13th, just back from my trip to China. Topic of the morning right now, is Governor Ritter right or wrong to tell Congresswoman DeGette to back off her bill that would impose tougher regulations on natural gas drilling, specifically tougher regulations on what kind of chemicals natural gas companies can put into the ground and near water supplies. One of the big, most contentious issues, of course, is whether those natural gas companies even have to tell us what is in those chemical compounds called fracking compounds. DeGette's bill would force some kind of disclosure. Governor Ritter saying, no, don't do that. He is opposed to her bills, telling her to back off it, saying that her bill would hurt the economy. What do you think? Do you buy the whole idea that regulating the environment, protecting our water supplies is somehow bad for the economy? Or do you think we can walk and chew gum at the same time, protect our natural resources, and have a good economy? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Ben in Greeley. Ben, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. How are you?
Okay.
Listen, I'm in the oil industry, and I'm stationed out of Colorado, and I've been all over the country, Pennsylvania, Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and it's pretty much different in all the different places, all the different regulations and that kind of thing that the government has put on the oil industry to slow them down. They've been in the business for years and years and years. They've been developing different systems and that kind of thing that were safe and that kind of thing. They are also open to lawsuits and that kind of thing. And we want to make it even more difficult now. There have been so many different layoffs and that kind of thing in the past year because of the presidential election and that kind of thing and changing. I'm 57 years old, and I've seen a lot of these things happen.
Yeah, well,
usually Ben, you're in elections.
But Ben, I mean, part of the problem is, I think, as you seem to allude to, is the fact that different states have so many different regulations. It's really this piecemeal approach to regulating the industry, which then forces states to compete with each other, which then forces the oil and gas companies to have all sorts of legal costs to try to figure out how to follow each individual state's laws.
That's correct.
Just at a macro level here, it seems that federal regulation, at minimum, would provide some sort of national standard, national stability. Make it at least at that point, you'd know what you were dealing with in each individual jurisdiction. I mean, it can't be fun. It can't be helpful to the oil and gas industry to have to cut through the red tape of every individual state instead of having one set of rules that it can deal with.
Right, and I think it's a nightmare for everyone. You know, I feel like there's a couple of things that are missing, a couple of ingredients. I guess, you know, keeping it simple is probably, and using common sense is one of the things that I think we lose in all our legislation and that kind of thing, because the large companies that are extracting oil and developing new systems and that kind of thing, they have to, you know, they have to keep a lot of those things under wraps, because if they didn't, then all the development money and research money would go out the door.
Well, and there's the other side of the argument too, which is the gas companies say we can't let you know what's in our fracking fluids because those are trade secrets. Now, it seems to me common sense is that if somebody comes in with some sort of health problem that's about those fracking fluids, we have to have some kind of law that says that the company has to disclose to the hospital what's in those fluids so the hospital knows how to treat it. So you're right. I mean, this is a complicated set of issues, and I appreciate you taking the time for the call. All right, 6:59, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. More on Governor Ritter and the tip between him and Congresswoman DeGette after the top of the news.
Heads up, everybody! Now you can get Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost for $19.99 a month for 6 months. So that means we really gotta bust our hump. I'm gonna need some experts on this one. So Mixmaster, I need you to handle music downloads.
Now, feature lyrics, look to me. I'll kick them from your laptop to your MP3.
Big Eddie,
I need you to beef up virus protection.
Sure thing, boss. As soon as I find my brass knuckles.
Shutterbug, I need you to handle the photo center.
I'll do it now.
Fast.
Happy. Maple. See ya.
And White Lightning, make those download speeds faster than ever.
Done.
Great. Get right on it.
No, I made him fish. It's done.
Get the biggest value in internet. Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost lets you download your favorite movies and music lightning fast. And the McAfee security suite is included. Get it all right now for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today.
Offer ends 7/31/09. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to performance service for new residential customers. After promotional period, regular charges apply. Equipment installation and taxes extra. For more information, visit Comcast.com.
Capitol Hill. Now with more CBS News, here's Frank Setapani.
Three men are in custody in connection with the shooting deaths of a prominent Pensacola, Florida businessman and his wife. But the police say they expect more arrests. Arrest warrants list burglary as the motive, but Sheriff David Morgan tells the CBS News Early Show there could be more to it than that.
We are developing, as with many things in this case, multiple motives.
Bird and Melanie Billings were shot while 8 of their 16 children were asleep in the family home. 12 of the couple's children were adopted and had special needs. One of three inmates who broke out of the Indiana State Prison, a convicted murderer, has been recaptured across the state line in southwestern Michigan. Prison spokesman John Schrader says the other two, still at large, are just as dangerous.
We would strongly recommend that if the public feels they have any information or any potential sighting, they should notify their local law enforcement.
2,400 GM auto workers who make Chevrolet, GMC, and Cadillac SUVs are returning to the job in Arlington, Texas for the first time in 6 weeks. Local union president Enrique Flores says a full paycheck beats unemployment benefits any day.
Our bills are still at 100%. So you got 30% loss of income for 2 months. It does hurt you.
With unemployment at a 26-year high, some people are so desperate for a job, they're working for free. If nothing else, it gives them a line on a resume they can show potential employers. But Ross Eisenbray with the Economic Policy Institute doesn't recommend it.
The problem is with employers who will exploit them. It's wrong and it's illegal for employers to have them do work and not pay them for it.
Eisenbray says volunteering to work for a charity is a better idea. While the recession is keeping some lawbreakers from going to jail, CBS's Larry Miller has that.
With the spiraling cost of keeping convicts behind bars, more than half of states are choosing alternative sentencing and relaxed probation and parole procedures. The Washington Post says it costs an average of $79 a day to keep an inmate in jail, but only $3.50 to let them out and monitor them.
S&P futures have taken a turn higher just ahead of the opening bell. They're up about 6 points. This is CBS News.
I had a great idea at work yesterday. So, I gathered my A-team to meet online using WebEx. I passed the ball
to Carol in Atlanta, and I created some killer graphics. Then I pass the ball to
Taz in San Jose because I write the code that makes their ideas work online. Then I pass the ball to
Logan in Cambridge. I'm kind of the keeper of cool. And hey, it was cool.
So now my idea wasn't just an idea. It was our hot new product line created by our national development team.
Spread across 3 time zones.
And we couldn't have done it without passing the ball.
Using WebEx, the only way to pass the ball online.
Pass the ball. Get your ideas rolling. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code GREEN to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset. Remember that code, GREEN. WebEx from Cisco, WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
The Law Office of Mike Turner, working on behalf of people wronged by corporations and insurance companies.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. A power outage slowing traffic this morning.
It's not a widespread outage, but it's an outage in southwest Denver around Sheridan. The biggest issue is traffic lights that are flashing out. We had one of our feeders go out and try to get repowered, and that didn't work, so we have crews on the way.
Xcel Energy's Joe Fuentes. Again, that outage is affecting traffic lights in southwest Denver this morning. Colorado Senate Minority Leader Josh Penry, the latest Republican to announce he's running for governor.
Ready to move beyond the failed choices and failed leadership of both political parties. Failed choices and failed leadership that have landed our economy and our politics in the ditch.
Penry made the announcement in Grand Junction over the weekend. He'll face his former boss, Congressman Scott McGinnis, and Dan Mays from Evergreen in the GOP primary. Gasoline prices have fallen 10 cents over the past couple of weeks to $2.55 a gallon nationally. Analyst Trilby Lundberg.
The work commute is what causes gasoline demand. In fact, holidays and vacations actually reduce it. So we have the most serious hit to our demand coming from our poor economy, and this is pulling down the price.
In Colorado, the average now is $2.44 a gallon. Sports, All-Star Brad Hopp with a game-ending double to help the Rockies rally past the Braves 8-7. Rocks are off for the All-Star break and back in action Thursday in San Diego. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where we're still looking at some delays across Aurora due to an accident that occurred on the northbound side of 225 right around Mississippi. Get over to the right if you want to get past this quickly. Now the traffic lights are out. Sheridan and Dartmouth, that due to that power outage that you heard David just talking about. Now it sounds like police are on scene directing traffic. Westbound 76 loading up on that approach to I-25. Speeds are going to drop into the 20s and 30s. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Don't get ripped off when you sell your gold. Get 40% more every day at Fast Cash Gold Centers. At Fast Cash, they shop the competition and pay you 40% more for your gold. Call for an instant quote before you sell or visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
The National League has been singing the All-Star Blues for the past 12 seasons. Can St. Louis slugger Albert Pujols change their tune? Or will the American League belt out another win?
From Consumer Reports, Questions of Health. I'm Ernie Sprantz. You're wondering, does grape juice have some of the same health benefits as red wine? Probably, though red wine may offer extra protection. Both are high in flavonoids, plant compounds that may protect the heart by inhibiting blood clots and possibly increasing the level of good HDL cholesterol. But the alcohol in wine may provide an additional anti-clotting benefit. Of course, too much alcohol poses serious risks, and both beverages pack about 190 calories per cup, so drink them in moderation. Your doctor has suggested minimally invasive surgery for back pain. Is it worth trying? Only as a last resort. Such surgery uses smaller incisions than the standard operation, but nearly half of some 1,100 readers who underwent back surgery said recovery was longer and more painful than expected. And most back pain resolves on its own in about 6 weeks. When it doesn't, acupuncture, chiropractic care, or exercise often help. So consider surgery only if other options have failed. Your wife applies makeup daily. Is it dangerous for her to inhale the dust from facial powder? That's unclear. People exposed to very large amounts of those powders, such as workers in manufacturing plants, may be at higher risk of lung disease and certain cancers. But there's little research on the amount people breathe in while applying their makeup. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at ConsumerReports.org. Reports, savings round the clock. I'm Ernie Sprantz. Early birds don't get only worms anymore. They're eligible for discounts on all kinds of stuff. Later risers needn't feel slighted, though. They'll probably find other deals. Especially in times like these, with merchants scrambling to get customers in the door, time-of-day discounts are plentiful. Here's a roundup of some timely bargains. Air travel. The cheapest time to fly depends on your route and other factors, though you'll often find the least expensive seats are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday flights. The best time to book a bargain seat is midweek, Tuesday afternoon through Thursday. Bowling. For the best rates, go before 9 or 10 a.m. or sometimes after 9 p.m. Car washes. Deals can be had if you drive in early, before 8 or 9 a.m. Farmers markets. Sellers rarely want to haul their bounty back to the farm, so look for deals near closing time. Golf. Tee off by 7 or 8 a.m. or after 3 or 4 p.m. Tennis. You'll often save by starting your game as early as 6 or 7 in the morning, or late, like after 9 at night. Movies, matinees, usually in the morning or early afternoon, are a traditional money saver. And finally, restaurants. Even some high-end places now offer early bird specials and other tasty inducements. Look for lunches starting before 11 and dinners at 4 or 5. Night owl specials often begin around 9. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
It took the guys at Apple a while, but the iPhone finally has many of the functions you'd expect in a handset of this caliber. Fanboys, that's the name given to diehard Apple fanatics, had been screaming out for features such as cut and paste abilities, stereo Bluetooth audio, additional landscape keyboard functionality, laptop tethering capabilities, and more. Now, thanks to the new 3.0 software update, the fanboys are happy. For now.
Stuff here. A lot of it's just about transparency. A lot of the federal bill that she had been proposing was just about that the oil and gas companies have to tell us what's in these fracking fluids. Governor Ritter now weighing in on behalf of the oil and gas industry, telling Congresswoman to back off her bill. And according to the Herald, she is going to back off her bill. And I wanted to get your take on what you think is going on, whether you think Ritter is right, Ritter making the economic case that now is basically not the time to regulate the oil and gas industry, because by regulating them, we'd supposedly be hurting our economy. I have no doubt that elective politics are at play here. As you may have heard, State Senator Josh Penry from the West Slope is put his hat into the ring for the Republican nomination to run against Ritter. There's going to be a primary between Penry and Scott McGinnis, also from the West Slope. So the Republicans are going to probably have, whoever is the nominee in that race, is going to be one of these sort of Cheney-style energy guys. You know, the policies, the positions of a Dick Cheney on energy development, which is to say, just drill at all costs, no regulations, that's the way to help the economy. So I have no doubt that Ritter, in demanding that to get back off her bill, is thinking about how to defang that Republican argument. The question is whether you think he's right or wrong. 303-713-7600. Is Governor Ritter right to tell Congresswoman to back off her bill to better regulate oil and gas drilling? Is better regulating the kinds of fluids that oil and gas companies can put into the ground, would that hurt the oil and gas industry in our state? Would it hurt our economy? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Mickey and Thornton, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, Dave. It's good to have you back, and I want to thank you for your views on China. It's very interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I should remind people, you can, starting tomorrow, over the course of the week, I'm going to be posting dispatches from our trip. I'll look at China through the eyes of a progressive and just an average American, an average Coloradan, at openleft.com, where I blog. I'm going to be doing once a day, and the only reason I didn't do them while I was on the trip was because the internet was intermittent. The Chinese government was playing around with blocking people off of different internet sites, and I didn't want to risk the potential of having my visa revoked for posting dispatches that at times are critical of the Chinese Communist Party.
Very good.
So what's on your mind?
Well, regarding the Diana DeGette bill and Bill Ritter and everything, I just want to bring up the Aaron Brockovich story. You know, we have people who are getting sick, go to the hospital, and the medical professionals have no idea what they're even treating. We
right.
don't know what the long-term effects are, and I'm really sorry to hear she's backing down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to hear it, too. I particularly don't understand it from a political perspective in this way. I mean, look, in Colorado, and I've worked in a lot of different states, Colorado, the Democratic Party here is very go-along to get-along. It's very compliant. It doesn't like confrontation. There's this strange notion of everybody has to fall in line. It actually, frankly, reminds me a little bit of in that sense, of the Chinese Communist Party. Now I say that not completely seriously, but what I mean by that is, it's not that the Colorado Democratic Party is a communist party ideologically. It's that One thing that I learned from so many people in China was that part of the problem in China, in its culture and its political system, is that it's basically a Politburo. That the party, that the Chinese kind, it's a one-party state. There's not much debate. And, you know, there's a lot of that, I think. There's a lot of that kind of top-down, let's not argue with each other kind of sentiment in the Democratic Party. So I can understand that to get, well, I can't, I'm not going to say I can understand it, but my guess is that's why DeGette has backed down in the name of intra-party unity here in Colorado. What I don't understand, getting away just for a second from just the merits of it, because I don't understand her backing off it on the merits, but what I don't understand politically is Governor Ritter is probably the weakest Democrat in Colorado when you look at the polls. And Congresswoman DeGette, as far as I know, is pretty popular in Denver. So I don't really understand the political imperative for somebody who's popular in a safe Democratic seat backing off a common sense bill based on the demands of one of the most unpopular Democratic politicians in the state. It's, as you said, it's really, really disappointing. And as, you know, Turk is going to try to get Congresswoman to get on the line maybe tomorrow if we can get her, and I don't know if we can, but for her to explain her views herself. Mickey, thanks for the call. 7:15, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Weigh in on this tiff between Governor Bill Ritter and Congresswoman DeGette. Governor Ritter late last week telling Congresswoman DeGette to back off her bill to better regulate oil and gas drilling in Colorado, specifically to better regulate the kinds of chemicals, fracking fluids, that natural gas companies can put into the ground here in Colorado near our water supplies. What do you think? Ritter saying that it's bad for the economy, that we shouldn't really do this kind of regulation now in a recession, and to get basically backing off. What do you think? 303-713-7600. John, hello. On the cell from I-70. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm driving east towards Denver on I-70 past the oil fields right now.
Yeah.
I thought I would call and tell you that I have no clue why Ritter is not trying to force and support DeGette's idea. I know of two families whose waters have been contaminated because of activities. Now, they may not have been fracking, but, I mean, by gas industry, their water supplies have been contaminated. It is beyond me why Ritter isn't trying to support DeGette, especially because I come from Mesa County, and none of those people are going to vote for him anyway.
Well, the issue is this, is that I think, look, there's two ways that politicians behave. There's two theories on how you win in politics. You win either by motivating your people and by being willing to have some people love you and some people hate you, and feeling that the people who love you, your supporters, will help you win the election over the people who hate you. Or you think the way to win is to try to be liked vaguely by everybody. Now, it's my take that when you try to be liked vaguely, when you triangulate and you try to be liked vaguely by everybody, what ends up happening is nobody likes you. And what ends up happening is you're kind of a do-nothing. You don't push anything real. You don't take real stands. And nobody ends up liking you. Now, there have been politicians who've used this formula to eke out victories. Right? I mean, this was the criticism of Bill Clinton. Mr. Triangulator, always trying to take five different positions on one issue to make everybody happy. I think what we're seeing, that's the formula that Bill Ritter has been showing us for the last many months, right? He craps on labor. He's now going to bat for the oil and gas industry, trying to basically make both labor and business and the oil industry and farmers, ranchers happy all at the same time. In the end, I think you're right. He's not going to make anybody happy, right? Because the conservatives are probably going to vote for Penry or McGinnis. And now progressives, and forget about progressives or conservatives, just regular rank and file Coloradans, you know, I don't think it projects strength when you go to bat for an industry on behalf of polluting water supplies.
Neither do I. But what I don't understand about Ritter is he is so carefully trying to not alienate people that he misses chances to help, to get his supporters to like him.
That's exactly right. And I mean, but his calculation, and I'm not defending him, but my guess is his calculation is there's no way somebody like Josh Penry or Scott McGinnis, who are basically stooges for the oil and gas industry, there's no way those guys are going to criticize him for this, right? They're not going to. So his calculus is, well, they can't criticize me for this, so I have got some running room to do bad things on this set of issues because nobody will criticize, because they won't criticize me on it.
But surprisingly, Penry, of all people, helped sportsmen recently by supporting some language in a law that would allow use of funds given to the Division of Wildlife to buy water rights to keep water in streams for fishermen.
No, that's right. And I got to get a break here, but I'm glad you bring that up, because I think Penry is going to be, if he is the nominee, he could potentially be a tougher nominee because he's taken some positions on environmental issues that's going to allow him to do the opposite of what Ritter's doing, right? You see, Ritter is a Democrat, is trying to triangulate, move to the right a little bit to try to, for some reason, show that he's something of an oil and gas stooge. Penry is going to try to triangulate a little bit to the left, having cast some votes in the legislature that will allow him to blunt what is a rather sharp-edged right-wing environmental record. So this is a dance here. It's a dance. The problem is, as you said, this has real consequences for regular people, right? You know, this political dance between these two politicians has real consequences when somebody fills up the water in their tap and there's traces of fracking fluid in it. It's a real bummer. Thanks for the call. 721, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. Weigh in on this fight between Governor Ritter and Congresswoman Diana DeGette. The news is that Ritter telling DeGette to back off of her bill to better regulate natural gas drilling, and specifically fracking, that is the kind of fluids that the natural gas industry can put into the ground in Colorado near our water supplies. Who do you think's right? Is Ritter right to tell her to back off in the name of economic development? Should DeGette have backed off? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Still working this crash northbound I-225 around Mississippi. Going to see stop-and-go conditions beginning back around the spillway all the way past that site. Southbound side also sluggish there from Parker Road down to the interchange. New crash westbound I-70 just after Federal. Going to start hitting delays at Pecos. Rest of the drive looking pretty standard for us. Southbound 25 pulling the normal spots up in Northland now at 120th. Again, after I-70, and also sluggish eastbound 270, York to Vasquez. Forecast mostly sunny to start. Then after 2 o'clock, clouds are going to roll in. Scattered thunderstorms with wind and rain. Look for a high around 92. Right now, 63 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
You put more into your small business. With an HP OfficeJet Pro all-in-one, you get...
Hi, it's Marty. When I recently visited Lauer's Hardwood Showroom, and I love Beetlekill wood products. The all-natural lodgepole pine is environmentally neutral and can be stained or left au naturel with its distinctive blue-hued beauty marks. Lauer's Hardwoods has Beetlekill flooring, paneling, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, price perfect, and environmentally neutral. Visit Lauer's in Lakewood and say Mario sent you and get 10% off. Call them at 303-205-WOOD or lowershardwoods.com.
Consumer Reports, cooling your home. I'm Ernie Sprans. The most common mistake people make when it comes to air conditioners is getting the wrong size. Underestimate your cooling needs and you could end up sweating. Overestimate and you'll have a cold, damp space. Before installing a central air system, have a contractor do a load calculation to determine the required cooling capacity. This step is an important one as well if you're upgrading an existing system, since changes made to improve your home's energy efficiency, such as replacing windows or adding insulation, can reduce your cooling needs. On the other hand, if you've added living space, you might need more cooling. After the required cooling capacity has been determined, focus on installation. Adding a central system is relatively straightforward if you already have ductwork for your heating. But if your home doesn't have ducts, adding them can be expensive and messy. If you're in this camp, consider a split ductless system instead. Split ductless systems are similar to central air in that they can cool multiple rooms but need no ductwork. Choosing a reliable central air system is crucial because breakdowns are inconvenient and costly. According to our latest product reliability survey, Trane, the market leader, along with Rheem and Rood, were less likely to need repairs than those from Goodman and Heil. Of course, central air isn't right for every home. Recommended window air conditioners in our next report. I'm Ernie Sprans for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
On my China trip, as I've been mentioning all morning, my wife and I made sure that a big chunk of our trip was spent away from the coastal cities that you hear so much about. You know, you hear so much triumphalism about Shanghai and Beijing and Hong Kong, and they're great cities, but that's not where most Chinese people live. And so we went to interior China. We went to the poorest province in China just to get a sense of what's really going on in the country. And I don't purport to be a China expert for having been there for 3 weeks, but what I can tell you is that if one thing is overwhelmingly clear when you visit a place like that where tourists and pundits don't usually visit, it's that we got a real environmental problem on our hands. And if China is the supposed future of the world, then the future of the world, we don't have much of a future. And I don't mean that to denigrate the Chinese, but what I mean to say by that is that if what we saw in China, which was a completely unregulated environmental situation, is the future of the world, then the world is not going to have much of a future. And this debate that we're having here in this country over energy and environmental regulation, we're making a choice about which path to go down. Are we going to go the China route, where everything is sacrificed in the name of economic development? Everything. Water supplies. I mean, I think the stat is that most of the rivers in China are environmental disaster zones. The air quality there is awful. Are we going to go the route of China and say that we've got to sacrifice everything in the name of economic growth, raw economic growth? Or are we going to go a different route? And that's the question here in Colorado right now, in this fight, this high-profile fight between Governor Ritter and Congresswoman Diana DeGette. The news is that Governor Ritter has asked Congresswoman DeGette to back off of her bill that would impose some kind of federal regulation on the oil and gas industry, and specifically on how it drills for oil and gas. There's this process known as fracking, where the gas industry puts fluids into the ground to try to break apart rock formations so as to release natural gas. The problem is that these fluids are being injected near our water supplies. We don't know what's in these fluids. The companies are allowed to keep what's in the fluids secret, that is, the recipes of those fluids secret, no matter what kind of health hazards they're causing. The bill would have imposed some kind of transparency and some kind of regulation. Ritter's saying back off it, because doing that would hurt Colorado's economy. Who do you think's right? 303-713-7600. Mary in Lakewood, you're on AM760.
Hello.
Hi there.
Good morning. I'm calling to remind people of exactly what fracking does. I grew up watching the mining industry and the environmental damage they did, and I can't believe that we would still today let all of this stuff happen. Just thinking about recent things with fracking, recently in the news was flammable water. I don't know if you remember, I think it was up in the Lafayette-Broomfield area in about March, where people would turn on their water tap, hold a match to it, and it would flame.
I do remember, yeah, and there have been periodic reports about that.
Yeah, that was a direct result of fracking. Obviously, there was something in that water that was not conducive to good human life. Then I have a friend who also lives in that general area where they're doing fracking, and while her water wasn't contaminated, her water was left gone because the fracking created a way of making or blocked her water from even reaching her well.
And we reported on the flammable water, if you will, when that happened. And this is happening all over the West. It does not get a lot of press, but this is a very real issue. And, you know, there are a lot of experts out there who believe that in the future, that the real commodity that's going to be the most valuable commodity in the entire world is going to be water. It's not going to be oil or gas. It's going to be water. That with the population crush, the thing we're going to have to protect most is going to be drinkable, fresh water. Now, that's a longer-term concern than the short-term concern for a need for oil and gas to become energy independent. But what isn't in this debate over fracking fluids and the economy is, well, what does a Colorado economy look like if we've got contaminated water supplies? Right? What does that do to our economy? I mean, I know that we're led to believe that the more drilling rigs that are out there, simply the better it is for our economy. Now, I'm all for responsible energy development, right? But at what cost, right? Even putting aside the idea of what's the point of economic development if it's going to hurt human health, put that aside for a second and say, at what cost are we developing our one part of our economy, the oil and gas industry, at the cost of another important part of our economy, which is something like fresh water supplies for our farms and for our drinking water supplies, right? I mean, these are the things that are left out of this debate. And I really, Mary, I appreciate you bringing up the issue of flammable water, because that was really real. I mean, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. Marcia in Denver. Marcia, you're on AM 760.
Yes, good morning, David. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate having you back.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Concerning Diane DeGette, she needs to really seriously reconsider this. We have an active, serious problem going on also in Warfano County, which is Walsenburg. And I picked up a paper on Friday. It was Warfano County News, where a dairy farmer down there is losing his whole herd. They're very afraid of the what's being contaminated in the milk supply through the water and through the grass. And this Corsentino fellow is trying to put some people together, maybe a co-op, to fight this gas and oil group down there. He said there's some kind of heavy sodium solution that's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's killing the calves, as well as contaminating the milk. And they're afraid it also what it's going to do with the children, of course, in that area. So just to let you know, that's very active and going on as we speak.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up and the broader point about how interconnected all these issues are. The idea that if you contaminate your water supply, it may not just hurt you drinking out of your tap, right? I mean, I know, like, everybody's thinking about their own backyard, right? So if you're here in Denver, you're like, well, you know, I mean, this is not my opinion, but you know, some people will say, well, you know, the people who live out in oil and gas country, sorry that their water supply is contaminated, but well, what's that mean to me? Well, as you said, you know, it's not just all these things are interconnected. If the water supply is contaminated, and the cows are drinking that water, then potentially your milk supply is contaminated. And I have this on my mind because, as I told Turk before the show, I'm reading a really, really freaky book right now, a really, really freaky book that I'll tell you about after the break that's related to the idea of everything is interconnected. Right? It really pounds home the idea that a problem, let's say on the West Slope, like this, is a problem for folks here in Denver, is a problem for folks all over the state, and really all over the country. And I'll tell you about this book, and it will freak you out. This book is like one of the scariest books I've ever read. It's written by Mel Brooks' son, which is another weird little twist. But I'll tell you about it after the break. Stick around, 303-713-7600. We're talking about the tiff between Governor Ritter and Congresswoman Diana DeGette over environmental regulations. First, a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, this crash on northbound 225 at Mississippi still really making a mess in Aurora. Going to find single-digit speeds. Looks like traffic's basically stopped there from Parker Road all the way up to Mississippi. Southbound side, opposing lanes also heavy. Colfax down to the side of that crash. Some curiosity slowing there. Also stop and go from Parker Road down to 25. Also, seeing some really heavy volumes and slow speeds northbound I-25 now. Linking up to 6th Avenue, southbound side. Heavy in Northland, 120th down to 84th again after I-70. Crash westbound I-70 after Federal. Traffic lights still messed up at Sheridan and Dartmouth. Got a power outage there, still messing things up. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., mostly cloudy this afternoon. Good chance for scattered thunderstorms as well. Highs in the lower 90s, right now 65 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Next time you're at King Soopers, look for new lower prices on chicken and ground beef. The new lower prices will help you put food on the table for a lot less. It's another way to get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
I understand the passion, brother.
Mario Solis Maris.
He was fiery and excitable.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
That's what I mean. No, so now even our listeners are fiery and excitable.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
It's contagious.
Face it, we all want our vehicles to work. Every day, every time. So at Cottman Transmission, we deliver superior service and workmanship to get your vehicle back on the road. We also deliver convenience to make your life run smoothly. We'll pick you up and drop you off while your car is being worked on. We answer the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you need us, we're here. Call us at 303-761-8841 for an honest quote on what you need or don't need done. Cottman Transmission, 2630 South Broadway.
Nate, technician for Elite Auto Glass and Safelite Auto Glass.
My customer had a tiny chip in his windshield. Yesterday, he got in his hot car, cranked up the AC, and crack! It spread. If only he'd called sooner. When it chips small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. And an Elite Safelite repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, it's free.
Let Elite Safelite handle the insurance claim for you. Just call 303-287-5000.
Elite Repair. Elite Replace.
Arr! We be under attack. Man the long nine.
Arr! Prepare the boarded. Flagship's turner bow.
What? No, not by the enemy flagship. By garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. Many a folk don't know that when they throw their trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. So lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. And learn more what you can do to keep the ocean healthy at KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
AM 737 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. We're talking about the tiff between Governor Ritter and Diana DeGette, the congresswoman from Denver. Ritter telling DeGette to back off her bill to better regulate natural gas drilling in the state, better regulate the process of fracking, which is injecting chemicals into the ground here in order to get natural gas out of the ground. And the last caller made the point that, you know, this stuff is all connected, right? Like, if you allow water supplies to be contaminated, it doesn't just impact the people whose water supplies are contaminated. It impacts, for instance, the farms and the ranches who rely on that water supply as well. And as everybody knows, the farms and ranches produce different parts of the food supply for us. So if you have cows drinking out of contaminated water supplies, that's going to potentially contaminate your milk supplies and your meat supplies. And as I said before the break, this really reminds me, I'm reading a book right now, I've been reading it on my trip, that really pounds home the idea of how interconnected our world is and how all these issues, therefore, are interconnected. It's a book called World War Z. World War Z, an oral history of the zombie war. It's written by Mel Brooks' son. It's basically a, without giving it away, it's basically written, it's a science fiction fantasy book, whereby it's written after the end of a war with the zombies. There's an outbreak of a disease that kills people and makes them, then reanimates them into, you know, your classic Night of the Living Dead zombie. Now, obviously, it's science fiction fantasy, but it's very scary. It's written very deadpan, and, you know, it's this, I think, this allegory to what would happen if a truly devastating pandemic happened throughout the world. And what's particularly interesting about it is that it starts in China. The disease starts in China, and the way it spreads is, I mean, the scary way it spreads is if a zombie bites you and doesn't kill you, doesn't eat you, because that's what the zombie wants to do. It wants to actually just eat your whole body.
Brains.
Exactly. But if it just bites you and you get away, you're infected and you're going to become a zombie. And the only way to kill the zombie is to shoot it in its head. But the reason why it's an allegory to interconnectivity is because the way the disease originally spreads in the book is not through zombie bites, but because nobody traced the infection, and China exports so many different products and is a big market for organ donations, that it spreads in a stealth kind of way throughout the world. And it's just a reminder of how interconnected our world is on all these issues, right? When you're dealing with your water supply, you're talking about your food supply. Right? In World War Z, when you're talking about a disease to make people zombies, you're not just talking about them biting each other. You're talking about the exportation of blood and organs. And so our world's interconnectivity actually makes it more imperative that we better regulate these different interconnected parts of our world, like our water supply, like our environment. 741, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Who's right? Who's wrong? Is Governor Ritter right to tell Congresswoman DeGette to back off her bill better regulating the oil and gas industry? Ritter saying that it would hurt the economy by forcing the gas companies to disclose what kinds of fracking fluid they're putting into the ground. What do you think? Is he right? Is he wrong? 303-713-7600. Doug in Westminster, you're on AM 760.
My Sirota.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Oh, man, how was your trip, man? It sounds like you had a wonderful time.
It was, as I told friends, it was wonderful and terrible and great and awful all at the same time. It was physically and emotionally demanding. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but, well, I don't want to say once-in-a-lifetime, but certainly once in a long while kind of trip.
You sure wouldn't want to go back to the spot that you were talking about, that's for sure.
It was
heartbreaking.
It was really heartbreaking, eye-opening, man. I mean, you really get a sense of like, and I told folks, you know, the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, it's not a communist party. I mean, really, it really isn't. Not in any way at all. Not ideologically communist. I mean, we're talking about a very extreme version of the Republican Party in the United States, right? Terrible on civil liberties and completely and totally corporate when it comes to environmental regulation, right? Like this is it's a perfect example of an extreme version of the Republican Party. Like you know, they crack down on civil liberties, they support censorship, but when it comes to actually passing laws to regulate what big manufacturing and corporate polluters can do, they're nowhere to be found.
Sounds like the pubs to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I get to my take, real quick, I want to just say it was nice to go out and see Ed Perlmutter at his gathering. And for anybody that was out there, I'm sure they had a great time. I'm sure I did. And, yeah, anyhow, when we last spoke, I told you Ritter might be a one-termer.
Yeah.
This could be some of the 16 penny nails out of the box. It's going to go into his coffin, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you know, man, he keeps, you know, it's like every time you think he's not going to do something like this, he does something else like this. It doesn't, and I mean, what's interesting to me is like, who should we be more pissed off at, right? Are we more pissed off at Ritter? Are we more pissed off at DeGette? Like, what is DeGette rolling over to Bill Ritter for? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's some behind-the-scenes mild threatening that seems to me going on, because you don't just back down when you're trying to keep the environment happy. And then Ritter comes up and says, hey, you know, you better cool it, girl. I think Ritter's got a little side payola. He's getting threatened. He's getting, basically just dictated to by the companies.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that there's, I'm sure that whether they're overtly threatening him or it's implied, I'm sure he's saying, look, if I don't, you know, I gotta, it's an election year, I gotta make sure that the oil and gas industry doesn't try to spend me into the ground.
Yeah, but he's gonna go ahead and alienate us. I'm telling you, this is gonna suck to say, but I'm looking at a vote for Penry. And I hate to say that, Dave, but at least I know what I'm gonna get with the guy. I know that we're gonna get fracked. I mean, fricked and fracked.
Well, look, and the other, remember, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Penry has much better rankings from, for instance, Colorado conservation voters than your typical Republican. Now, I want to be clear. I am not at all saying that I think Josh Penry is a desirable candidate for governor. But what I am saying is that you're right, is that Ritter is treading on dangerous ground here. He is, you know, as much as he may think that the trick to his election is to triangulate to the right against the Republicans, I think you could get a candidate like Penry who will triangulate to the left to appeal to Democrats. Now, here's the one asterisk to this, which is that I think Ritter's calculation politically, unfortunately, may be correct if he ends up facing McGinnis, because McGinnis is so far out on the right, is such a bad and stupid candidate, really to me is a redux of Bob Beaupre.
Oh, you'll hurt him.
That I think Ritter can just cruise with that. But if he ends up with somebody like Penry, who has shown a pretty solid amount of political intelligence, especially on issues like this, I think you're right. I think he's playing with fire. Hey, Doug, thanks for the call, man.
All right, brother.
746, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Weigh in on this fight between Governor Ritter and Congresswoman Diana DeGette. Ritter telling DeGette to back off a bill that she's been campaigning pretty aggressively for in the House, a bill that would better regulate the oil and gas industry in Colorado, forcing gas companies to disclose what is in these fracking fluids that they're putting into the ground near our water supplies. There's been many reports of contamination or potential contamination into Colorado water supplies. You've got, as a caller earlier mentioned, you've got those sporadic reports of people's water in their taps, them being able to set that water on fire. Who do you think's right? Ritter's saying, listen, now is not the time to regulate the oil and gas industry. We're in a recession. It'll hurt them economically. Ritter also saying that that the state oil and gas rules that were recently passed are already going to do the job. One question with that is, if they're already doing the job, then what's the big deal of having a federal law also do the job? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Bob in Denver, you're on AM 760.
How you doing?
Good.
I think Ritter's wrong about it, and if you want to really become frightened, I was telling John, just really read up on organic chemistry, because I've had some, and it's like it would be frightening to know what's in those fluids. And then the other thing about Ritter is that his dalliance with that is almost like being in the same room with a murderous psychopath and expecting that they will let you live. They're going to go after him tooth and nail no matter what he does.
Well, that's exactly right. And look, this is, we were talking about the calculation about how a politician wins and loses elections, and I think that there's two theories, right? The one theory is I can make everybody like me, and the other theory is I'm going to have some people who love me and some people who hate me. Now, I think the Ritter model, which is I'm going to try to make everybody kind of like me, but everybody's going to be a little bit pissed off at me, just makes everybody actually hate you. And it doesn't appreciate the fact that if you try to make the election a choice between, on an issue like issues like the environment, a choice between a Republican and somebody who is basically saying the Republicans are partially right on these issues, then people are going to vote for the real thing. They're going to vote for the Republican.
One thing when they come about China, what you said about China.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, that's where the right wing wants us economically and politically is to be like China. And I don't think the American people really understand that, and they're very, very naive about where these people really want to take us, because that was the intention starting in 1980.
You're right, and I think that underlies a lot of the shallowest and most dangerous analysis in the American news about China, right? You hear so much about, oh, China's doing this, China's doing that, China's education system, this, that, and the other thing. And the underlying message seems to be that we should become more like China. Now, I certainly think we can learn things from China, but I'll tell you something. You know, the people who are writing that are only visiting places like Hong Kong. They're only visiting China's coastal wealth centers, where, as I said before, most Chinese do not live. The majority of that population does not live in the coastal cities. They live in the interior of China. And when you go visit there, and you see what's going on there, and you say, this is what we should become? I mean, are you freaking crazy? If that's what we become, this won't be America. I mean, we won't have a planet Earth left. And I say that not denigrating Chinese culture here. When I say it won't be America, what I mean by that is that we won't have any of the natural resources, any of the environmental protections that we take for granted. Our country will start looking like parts of interior China that look like, as I said, the set, like a movie set of a post-apocalyptic science fiction movie, like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. I don't know about you, but I'm looking out here out the window. I mean, it's the first time in weeks I've basically seen the unencumbered, without smog, the sun. Right? I look out the window here. I say, we can't give that up. I don't care what we got to do. We cannot give that up. Thanks for the call, Bob. 751, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'll be here today and tomorrow. Let's go to traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. They did clean up that crash on northbound 225 at Mississippi. Still a little sluggish, though, once you make the Parker curve. Southbound side, also really heavy. Stop and go, actually, from Parker Road down to the I-25 interchange. And if you're traveling northbound out of the Tech Center towards downtown, you're going to hit some snags. Downing Street up to 6th Avenue. One current crash on the radar. It's in the cleanup phase, though. Westbound I-70 around Federal. Also, traffic light malfunction still happening. Sheridan and Dartmouth power outage in that area ongoing. Also seeing traffic build on westbound 76 and eastbound 70 approaches into downtown. Things also looking heavy on the turnpike westbounders at Sheridan, eastbounders beginning at Federal. Your forecast, mostly sunny to start. Then after 2 o'clock, going to have some clouds, scattered thunderstorms with wind and rain. Look for a high of 92. Right now, 65 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Elf Shop Mini, where every new Mini Cooper includes years or 36,000 miles of no-cost maintenance. Now available with special 1.9% APR financing through July 31st. Learn more at RalphShopMini.com. That's RalphShopMini.com.
From Consumer Reports, some common camera goofs. I'm Ernie Sprantz. As part of a test of digital cameras for the July issue, Consumer Reports surveyed some 8,200 online subscribers about the care and feeding of their digital cameras. Many failed to make the best use of their new point-and-shoots. 66% didn't regularly clean the camera lens. You should clean the lens before each use. This minimizes the risk of focusing problems and blurry areas on pictures. 45% left photos in their camera for at least a month. Photo files should be copied to a backup device, like a hard drive, soon after capture. This reduces the risk of theft or deletion. 39% didn't know whether the camera had scene modes, image stabilization, face detection, or burst mode. These features make shooting easier and can improve your photos, so check the manual for features you may be unaware of. 28% of those surveyed told us they cleaned the lens with a shirt sleeve, household tissue, or canned air. You should clean your lens gently with a microfiber lens cloth and lens cleaning fluid. This way, you won't scratch or otherwise damage the surface. And finally, for those upgrading to a newer camera, 13% disposed of their old camera in the trash. If possible, sell your current camera, give it away, or recycle it. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
The year And earnings are really taking the forefront of this week and really the upcoming week's, spotlight. And the markets are really concerned about what's happening. Financials this week are big. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Citigroup all announced their earnings today, and those will be key. GE also announces, and some tech companies also, Intel, Nokia, and IBM, to name a few. So lots of eyes on what's going on in the earnings front. With that, the Dow is up only slightly, up 16 points and growing weaker, actually. NASDAQ Composite is down 14.5. S&P is flat. Russell's down about 3.33. Big thing that's coming up also, David, is in 2010, sweeping changes to the Roth IRA. And it's an area that's fraught with potential mistakes. I heard of a person who called their mutual fund company. They said they wanted to switch to a Roth IRA. It cost them $60,000. I've got an expert in the office. His name is Jason McBride. If you want to really know what's going on, it is important that you find out if you have an IRA. Should you Roth it? And know the rules. Jason is an elite advisor with Ed Slott, who's been on PBS. So call him today to find out if you should Roth IRA or not, making those funds tax-free when you take them out in the future. 303-694-1600. Do it today.
You heard it here again. 303-694-1600. Mike Spear, Presidential Brokerage. Mike, talk to you tomorrow, man.
Welcome back, David.
Thanks, man.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home 4 times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
.756 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. We're talking about the fight between Governor Ritter and Congresswoman DeGette. Governor Ritter telling Congresswoman DeGette to back off her federal bill to better regulate the oil and gas industry. What do you think about it? 303-713-7600. Rick in Aurora. Rick, you're on AM 760.
Good morning. I think we're kind of all missing the point here. We've got a huge land grab that's going on in Colorado. Military down in basically the southeastern corner of Colorado, pushing out farmers or trying to push out farmers that have been there for 5-6 generations. Meat production down there. We've got up in past Windsor, all the way actually into Wyoming, where nobody's talking about this, where they're trying to buy up as much property up there. And right now with the dairy farmers in such trouble, they're picking them up for, pennies on the dollar so they can put uranium mines up there, so they can start that. And if you want to see something that's going to really screw up the water table, that's it. Number three, we've got the super slab that's still trying to run up there. And there's people that still have liens on their property where these people have no business putting liens on them, hoping to eminent domain these people out. I mean, part of the problem is that we're giving up our farm production here in the U.S. easily. And, you've got to keep farms worldwide. If there's something wrong here, another part of the country or another part of the world could pick up the slack.
And you're right. I do think there's a land grab going on, or at least an attempt at a land grab. I mean, it's less obvious, it's less brazen than the one that happened 100 years ago, where the federal government and state governments were quite literally giving away land. But I think you're right. But I think it goes beyond just land. I think we're giving up, and it's kind of a cheesy esoteric term, but we're giving up the commons, if you will. Right, when we allow companies to, for instance, pump as much pollution into the air or into the ground as they want, the air and the soil, these are the commons, right? It's just like land. And if we give that up, we're sacrificing a big part of our economy and our future. Rick, thanks for the call. All right, stick around. We'll do a big news update after the top of the national news after the break.
Putting the magic into Irvin Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center's working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at Coloradco.com.
Let's come into session to start confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor.
This is a remarkable judge.
Committee Chairman Democrat Pat Leahy points to her experience and the fact she's been confirmed twice before to federal judgeships, nominated first by a Republican president, then a Democratic one. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The right is going to be able to point to some rulings and say she's left, and the left is going to be able to point to some rulings and say she's right. At the end of the day, she's a moderate.
Not from the perspective of the committee's top Republican, Jeff Sessions of Alabama.
Philosophically, her statements indicate an approach to judging that's outside the mainstream, so far as I can tell.
Sotomayor would be the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court and only the third woman. Republicans are expected to press her hard in several days of questioning, but in the end, her confirmation is pretty much assured. I'm Bob Fuss, live on Capitol Hill. Now with more CBS News, here's Frank Sedapani.
Three men are in custody, but police in Pensacola, Florida say they expect to make more arrests in connection with the shooting deaths of a prominent local couple. Sheriff David Morgan says Bird and Melanie Billings were the parents of 16 children, 12 of them adopted.
They opened their home and their fortune to children with special needs, with autism and Down syndrome, and also children that had been born of drug-ridden mothers.
A convicted killer who broke out of the Indiana State Prison has been recaptured in Grand Beach, Michigan by a bodyguard for Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. Daley has a beach home in the area. Two other escaped inmates remain at large. The head of the Army's Suicide Task Force tells USA Today military commanders haven't paid enough attention to the psychological needs of returning war veterans. She says that's one reason for the growing number of military suicides. University of Utah Dean David Rudd sees a cultural component to the problem.
A cultural issue, I would say, really isn't specific to the military. In some ways, it's more specific to young adult males, that they're very reluctant to receive care, particularly therapy.
A report the White House is releasing today says jobs in health care and the environment are growing faster than those in most of the rest of the economy. And these days, some people are so desperate for a job, they're working for free. Ross Eisenbray with the Economic Policy Institute says that's wrong and illegal. Working for a charity, he says, is a different story.
You can volunteer your services for a food bank, for all sorts of different charities. You can even volunteer for a nonprofit advocacy group.
Wall Street expects Goldman Sachs, one of the companies that got federal bailout money, to report a $2 billion profit for the second quarter. The New York Times says that could mean employee bonuses averaging $600,000.
Part of the profits that they've made in this quarter and this year are a direct result of government help. And that may not sit well for people.
Jill Schlesinger at CBSMoneyWatch.com. In early trading, the Dow's down 4 points. This is CBS News.
I'm about to present to you a straightforward commercial for GEICO, the third largest personal auto insurer in the country. Last year, over 3 million drivers switched to GEICO, and GEICO received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Standard & Poor's has consistently awarded GEICO a AAA rating for financial strength. This is usually where I'd say something cute or clever, but like I said at the beginning, we're keeping this straightforward. Goodbye to you now.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
It's the medicine your mom gave you as a kid. The medicine you trusted when you were pregnant. And for many, it's what you rely on to ease arthritis pain. Tylenol has been trusted for over 50 years. And while store brands make pills that look just like Tylenol, it's important to know they're not made by Tylenol. The only way to get the brand you've trusted your whole life, the brand doctors recommend most, is to buy the brand doctors recommend most. Feel better. Tylenol. Use only as directed.
I'm David Cale with an AM 760 local news update. An 800-acre wildfire near the Colorado-Utah border didn't grow much over the weekend. It's being allowed to burn in a remote area northwest of Grand Junction.
To benefit the vegetation and the wildlife habitat. We've kept it from going to the north, where we didn't want to go, near some ranch buildings, and into the west, which has been further into Utah.
David Boyd with the Bureau of Land Management says the fire was sparked by lightning. A planned resort above Minturn in Eagle County may be on hold. The developer had a contract to buy water from the Pueblo Water Board, but Aurora has first right of refusal. The Denver Post reporting if Aurora claims that water, the Battle Mountain property developer would have to buy its water elsewhere. The resort would include a private ski area, golf course, and 1,700 luxury homes overlooking Minturn. Sports, it's all-star Brad Hopp with the game-ending double to boost the Rockies above Atlanta 8-7. Rockies are off now for the all-star break. They start a four-game series in San Diego on Thursday. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where we're still looking at some heavy pockets for northbounders on I-25 as you're making your way past DU. In fact, that drive as you're trying to get from the tech center towards downtown going to take you about 25 to 30 minutes. Southbound 225 still sluggish just after Parker Road all the way up to I-25. Westbounders on 36 still feeling it. Sheridan to Wadsworth. Traffic lights, they're out at Sheridan and Dartmouth. And there's a power outage in that area. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Don't get ripped off when you sell your gold. Get 40% more every day at Fast Cash Gold Centers. At Fast Cash, they shop the competition and pay you 40% more for your gold. Call for an instant quote before you sell or visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
The National League has been singing the All-Star Blues for the past 12 seasons. Can St. Louis...
Where is my life headed? Will I find true love?
Should I change careers?
When you have important questions, California Psychics has answers. Over 150 gifted psychics available 24/7, helping people just like you. And California Psychics makes this promise. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
My California Psychic experience was primo. I was just astonished. I never expected that.
Secure and confidential. California Psychics has done over 1 million readings. Just call 1-800-PREDICT. 1-800-PREDICT. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free.
First, I had the chills and I felt choked up.
Our psychics will help you find love, happiness, and your true life path. Need someone to listen? Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. Remember, if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever experienced, it's free.
I definitely think California Psychics was the best psychic reading I've ever had.
We flew from Beijing to New York, and then flew from Beijing to Toronto to New York, to Indianapolis, where I then picked up my dog, Monty, from my in-laws, and we just drove back, got back yesterday. We stayed in, stayed the night in Salina, Kansas?
Salina? I'm sorry.
Salina? Yeah, Salina, Kansas. A pretty bleak place. Western Kansas is pretty bleak. Sorry to our Western Kansas listeners, but it's a pretty empty place. And it looks pretty economically depressed. Although, I was happy to see the, very, very large and new, windmills now starting to pop up out there. So, that's good news. Let's do a news update to refresh you on what's going on today, Monday, July the 13th.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
So obviously the big news today that you're going to be hearing a lot about is the opening of the confirmation hearings for Judge Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court. Republicans are girding for a real partisan fight. It seems like they're going to try to obstruct her nomination. I think we're going to be getting updates on the hearings from CBS News, if I'm not mistaken. Starting a little bit later in the hour. So stick around for that. In other news, the Los Angeles Times reports that Democratic lawmakers are now criticizing former Vice President Dick Cheney for allegedly ordering that a CIA counterterrorism program be kept secret from congressional leaders. Two Democratic senators questioning the legality of such concealment. Senator Dianne Feinstein saying it was illegal. Other Democrats calling for a formal congressional investigation. My only take on this is, where have you been? And better late than never. I mean, this idea that it's shocking and stunning and, you know, all the other descriptive words that Dick Cheney was hiding things from Congress and hiding CIA intelligence from Congress, it's not surprising. We've known this for a long time. Luckily, Democrats seem to be maybe finding some of their backbone to actually look into what happened. Financial Times reports that Congress is mulling a tax on the rich to pay for health care reform. There's a big debate now about, how do you pay for health care reform? Do you tax people's health care benefits and keep the revenue stream inside the health care industry? Or, as the U.S. House seems to be prepared to do you put a surcharge on people's income, people making over $250,000 a year? President Obama, of course, has promised not to raise taxes on those making under $250,000 a year. A proposal to tax people's health care benefits would be a tax on people who make less than $250,000 a year. So Obama, I think, is kind of backed into a corner on this one, which is good, because, you know, seems to me a smarter, fairer, less draconian way to fund health care reform is to ask the people making the most money in the country to cough up a teeny little bit more. Larry Summers, the top White House economic advisor, is saying that he does not think the worst is over in the recession. I think he's probably right, unfortunately. Economists predicting that unemployment will go up to probably around 10%, if not higher. It's a very scary time for everybody, especially people looking for jobs. Really, really a scary time. We're dealing with it in my household. My wife Emily just graduated from social work school and is starting the job hunt, and she knows it's not going to be easy. It's a real, real tough out there right now. News from science. That muttered curse word that reflexively comes out of your mouth when you stub your toe could actually make it easier to bear the throbbing pain. So says scientists from Keele University in England. The researchers there sought to test how swearing would affect an individual's tolerance to pain, because swearing often has an exaggerated effect that can overstate the severity of pain. The team thought that swearing would lessen a person's tolerance. As it turned out, the opposite seems actually to be true. Back on health care, a lot of conservative Democrats and Republicans are expressing big concerns about health care reform, worrying that that it will cost too much, and they really don't want that government-run public option. But according to the Congressional Budget Office, a strong public option that the House of Representatives is putting in its health care reform package should net somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 billion in savings over 10 years. So not a cost, but savings. It will actually save us money. And it makes sense. If you create a more efficient system than the private system, your economy is going to save money. This is what we've been saying, a lot of us have been saying, for years and years and years. In local news, Josh Penry, the state senator from the West Slope, has announced that he is going to run for the Republican nomination for governor. That puts him into a three-way primary contest, a Republican primary contest between him, his former boss, former Congressman Scott McGinnis, and a businessman, Dan Mays, from Evergreen. Denver Post business section, Frontier Airlines goes to court today to seek approval of a proposal by Republic Airways to help the Denver-based carrier emerge from bankruptcy Republic Airways, based in Indianapolis, has agreed to pay $108 million for all of the equity in Frontier and its subsidiaries. A Republican County Commissioner, furious over increased auto registration fees, says he's willing to campaign alongside Democratic Governor Ritter for a 10 cents a gallon gasoline tax hike instead, if Ritter is willing. University of Colorado at Boulder Lab wins a $42 million contract from NASA to develop a satellite sensor that will measure the sun's radiation, a project sped up by federal stimulus spending. Report in the Denver Business Journal, energy giant ExxonMobil is ramping up its natural gas operation in western Colorado. Gas prices, gasoline prices in the Denver area are showing signs of a more sustained, if still gentle, decline. As of Sunday, a gallon of regular gas locally costs an average of about $2.44. The big political news surrounds Governor Ritter, as usual. First story, just a terrible story for him, anyway you slice it. Denver Post reports that Governor Ritter turned down a $75 an hour offer from the Colorado Attorney General's office to handle legal matters regarding the disbursement of federal stimulus funds, instead hiring his former law partners for up to six times that cost. A few weeks after rejecting the Attorney General office's offer, Ritter hired Hogan and Hartson through a no-bid contract. So far, the firm has been paid $40,000 in federal funds. Lawyers at the firm are now receiving somewhere between $290 and $450 an hour thanks to Ritter's contract, when we taxpayers could have been paying $75 an hour to our own state government. Very, very bad story for Ritter. Really just reeks of corruption. The other controversy in the news, the Durango Herald reports, as we've been talking about all morning, Governor Ritter has asked Congresswoman Diana DeGette of Denver to back off her bill to regulate hydraulic fracturing, that process whereby natural gas companies inject chemicals into the ground in order to extract natural gas from rock deposits. DeGette has agreed to back off her bill, Ritter saying that it would be bad for the economy to regulate natural gas drilling processes right now. Ritter siding with the energy industry over the environmental industry. DeGette agreeing to back down. We're going to try to get Congresswoman DeGette on the show. Turk is going to put in a request to have her explain herself. So really, I think it's this false choice, somehow regulating the gas industry, making sure they don't contaminate our water supply. Somehow that's bad for the economy. I don't really get it. Contaminated water supplies, I don't think they sound very good for the economy. And the last news story, the one we're going to kick off a discussion here about, is this Wall Street Journal story. The Department of Homeland Security said Friday it is revising a program that authorized local police to enforce federal immigration law. Opponents of the program, known as 287G, they said the program was intended to identify criminal aliens, but instead has led to racial profiling, allowing local police to identify and arrest illegal immigrants for minor infractions like a broken taillight. Program supporters said it's been an effective tool for combating illegal immigration. The new guidelines from the Obama administration sharply reduce the ability of local law enforcement to arrest and screen suspected illegal immigrants on specifically immigration issues. So it's not reducing their ability to pull people over for traffic violations and breaking the law, breaking the laws that local police enforce, property crime, et cetera, et cetera. It just says that it's curtailing, this new directive is curtailing local law enforcement's ability to enforce federal immigration law. That is your news update. 818 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. So we'll kick off a discussion, and I'm guessing we're going to be opening the AM 760 Progressive Dojo for this. Do you think the Obama administration is right to rescind or modify this Bush-era directive that had our local cops trying to enforce federal immigration law? Do you think the local police force is really equipped in terms of training, in terms of legal expertise, in terms of jurisdiction, to be enforcing immigration laws? Or do you think, hey, we got a whole Department of Homeland Security, a whole immigration agency that has training in this, that's supposed to be doing the job? Our law enforcement folks at the local level, they got their hands full with the stuff that they are supposed to be dealing with, property crime, violent crime, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think the Obama administration is right? Or do you think they're wrong? Do you think we need as many hands on deck as possible to enforce our federal immigration laws? 303-713-7600. We got open phones. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin, just back from China. I'll be here today and tomorrow. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. No accidents out there around the metro, but we do see some really slow speeds and some heavy pockets. Northbound I-25 heading out of Castle Rock, really jammed right now. Founders Parkway up to Castle Pines. Also going to be busy. University up to 6th Avenue. Southbounders slow in the normal spots. North Glen, again, near downtown after I-70. Eastbound 6th Avenue also really sluggish right now. Stop and go, actually. Federal up to 25 and still a bear on southbound 225, leaving Aurora at Park Road down to 25. Things starting to clear up a little bit after an earlier action on the northbound side at Mississippi. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the a.m., partly cloudy, mostly cloudy actually this afternoon with a good chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs in the lower 90s. Right now, 70 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Go hog wild at the 2009...
Hello again, I'm Mr. Money from the Lodge Casino, here to tell you about our new games, higher betting limits, and extended hours. There's nothing like the excitement of a craps table. It's fast-paced fun and easy to learn. Another casino favorite, roulette, spins many ways to win. Plus, now you can play all the newest slots, from pennies all the way to $100, 24 hours a day. It's all at the friendliest place to play.
Lodge Casino.
Play Murphy Creek and Saddle Rock golf courses this summer for a great rate. Golf Aurora is offering a special rate all summer long. Rates as low as $40, including cart. Hi, it's Karen from Golf Aurora. Why not test your skills at Aurora's championship courses this summer? These special rates are valid every day of the week after 1 p.m., and both courses are in fantastic shape and ready to challenge you. For more information on these special rates, visit golfaurora.com and click on discounts. That's golfaurora.com.
My name is Marcia, and I'm an empath, so I can feel what other people are feeling. I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see clearly where relationships are going, where people's lives are going.
At California Psychics, we thoroughly test our psychics to make sure they're professional, have real gifts, and communicate clearly. Only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
California Psychics is legitimate because of the screening process that I personally went through. I had to give readings. They had the readings confirmed. They had different people check me out. And it was an intense process.
That's why California Psychics promises that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Just call 1-800-PREDICT, 1-800-PREDICT, or visit californiapsychics.com.
My purpose in life is to help other people to realize who they really are and to empower them to reach their goals.
Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit californiapsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
The Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
8, technician for Elite Auto Glass and Safelite Auto Glass.
My customer had a tiny chip in his windshield. Yesterday, he got in his hot car, cranked up the AC, and crack, it spread. If only he'd called sooner. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. And an Elite Safelite repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, it's free.
Let Elite Safelite handle the insurance claim for you. Just call 303-287-5000.
Elite Repair, Elite Replace.
Do I have health care?
Yes, I do.
No, I don't. And I can't go to the hospital because otherwise
I'll be in debt forever.
These days, there's a lot on your mind.
People in my neighborhood have lost their jobs and they haven't gotten rehired.
The global issue that concerns me the most is
global warming,
world hunger.
It sounds like they're rattling the sabers to invade Iran. Pretty much of a mess.
And that's why we're here. AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk, and AM760.net.
AM 760. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to get a national update from CBS News about the beginning of the Sonia Sotomayor confirmation hearings. In the meantime, open phones 303-713-7600. Two questions that we're dealing with this morning. First and foremost, what do you think about this tiff between Governor Ritter and Congresswoman Diana DeGette? Ritter saying that he's telling DeGette to back off her bill to better regulate natural gas drilling in the state, and specifically to better regulate those fracking fluids that the gas companies put into the ground near our water supplies. He's saying it would be bad for our economy if she passes this bill. She's backing off the bill. What do you think about that? Do you think DeGette's right to back off? Do you think Ritter's right to push her to back off? Or do you think they're just carrying water for the energy industry? Then the second question, now, what do you think about this ruling by the Obama administration, this directive from the Department of Homeland Security, severely curtailing local law enforcement's ability and power to enforce federal immigration law? You may recall that the Bush administration empowered local law enforcement to enforce some immigration laws on behalf of the federal government. Many of the opponents of that proposal said that it has engendered racial profiling among police departments that don't have the proper training in enforcing these federal immigration laws. What do you think? 303-713-7600. I have a feeling the immigration stuff is gonna open the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong. So we'll wait to gong it open. Let's go to the phones again. 303-713-7600. Frederick in Aurora. Frederick, you're on AM 760.
Mr. Sirota, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you standing in for the J-Man.
Thanks, man.
I just wanted to say on this, DeGette and Ritter, I think most of the Democrats as a whole are Republicans in sheep clothing. They've all been bought out by the big corporations, and it happens every time our economy goes sour. They can't do anything for us. And with Bill Ritter defecating all over the unions and other employee associations, we just need to get somebody there that's fighting for us, like DeGette, that will help us out. Otherwise, we will be like.
Well, why do you think she? Why do you think she backed off?
The Democratic Party as a whole, probably the elitists in there.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, I've lived in a lot of states, and I've done political work in a lot of states, and this is definitely a Democratic Party culture that doesn't like to debate with itself. It's a very top-down party. As I said earlier, I don't really understand it from the point of view that look, DeGette is a popular, safe seat congresswoman, right?
Right.
Why
right.
is she taking orders from an unpopular governor on an issue that she had previously been campaigning pretty vociferously for?
Probably because, one, that campaign money is will probably not be there if she doesn't. And
well, I don't know how much money she takes from the oil and gas industry. It's probably
No, I'm not talking about the oil and gas industry. I'm talking about from the Democratic Party itself.
Right.
Because let's face it, if you don't dance to their tunes, they will try to target you themselves. That's just like the Democratic Party.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up. I'm glad you bring that up because you're right. A lot of this, or at least some of it, can be certainly, if not fully explained, then it tangentially touches the idea that, yes, you're right. The Democratic Party institution, a state party, whether it's Colorado or somewhere else, often serves as a slush fund for unregulated corporate money to come into, for these soft money ads. And I don't think DeGette, and I'll double check, but I don't think she takes very much money from the oil and gas industry herself in her campaign fund. But you're certainly right that the Democratic Party apparatus may be thinking it can get at least some of that money for its general operations. And Bill Ritter certainly, I'm guessing, thinks he can peel off some of that money if he takes a position like this. So you're right. It's everything's interrelated here. You're very right to bring that up. It's there's a lot of, as the Big Lebowski might say, there's a lot of ins and outs here. There's a lot of ins and outs here, and that's probably part of the reason why. I mean, I think the other part of the reason is that the Democrats in this state just don't like debating with each other. It's a very top-down, autocratic party. Go along to get along. I just wish DeGette wouldn't go along on something like this. I think Ritter's wrong. Frederick, thanks for the call. 8:30 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, what we're going to do now is coming up in the next minute here, we're going to get an update on the Sonia Sotomayor confirmation hearings from CBS News. Stick around. After that, we'll get back to your calls about this controversial directive about immigration from the Obama administration and this fight between Governor Ritter and Diana DeGette, the immigration directive, the Obama administration basically rescinding a Bush administration directive to empower local law enforcement to enforce federal immigration law. What do you think about that? And then this tiff between Governor Ritter and Diana DeGette, Ritter telling DeGette to back off her bill to better regulate hydraulic fracturing, fracking, the natural gas industries, putting chemicals into the ground to break apart rock deposits to allow gas out of there. These chemicals, some people believe that they're very toxic. There's been some evidence about that. Ritter going to bat for the oil and gas industry, saying to DeGette, back off your bill. What do you think about that? Who's right, DeGette or Ritter? Okay, it's 8:31. Here comes the update on the big national news of the day, the confirmation hearings for Judge Sonia Sotomayor.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Dave Barrett. The confirmation hearing is underway for Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor.
She's a judge in which all Americans can have confidence. She's been a judge for all Americans. She'll be a justice for all Americans.
Vermont's Patrick Leahy chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, saying the nominee has shown an approach to judging that's, quote, outside the mainstream. Senator Jeff Sessions has been making his opening statements.
I would never say it's acceptable for a judge to display prejudice in a case. But I regret to say, Judge, that some of your statements that I'll outline seem to say that clearly.
That's in reference to this statement she made.
A wise Latina would come to a better conclusion than others.
Sessions said White House officials assumed that Sotomayor misspoke, but the Alabama Republican says
the nominee did not misspeak. She is on record as making this statement at least five times over the course of a decade.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Dave Barrett.
So you heard it there, the Republicans digging in on the Sotomayor nomination. I'm guessing they're really going to try to stonewall this thing. I got to tell you, the irony of a Republican senator like Jeff Sessions from Alabama, a guy with a pretty controversial past on racial issues, trying to lecture Sonia Sotomayor about racial tolerance is... I mean, it just doesn't get any richer than that, really. All right, stick around. We'll get back to your calls on this immigration issue, on this fight between Governor Ritter and Diana DeGette. Stick around. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. No accidents out there still, but really seeing some slow speeds, especially on 25 for your northbounders. Leaving Castle Rock is going to be a bear. Founders Parkway up to Castle Pine, stop-and-go conditions there. Same deal once you get past the Tech Center, University up to 6th Avenue. Southbounders, speed's a little better, but still sluggish there. North on 104th to 84th, seeing them dip into 40s, and then in the 30s from I-70 past Spear Boulevard. Other spots with stop-go conditions, eastbound 6th Avenue, Federal to 25, and on southbound 2 1/4 from the spillway down to the interchange. On the turnpike, just seeing some heavier traffic on the westbound side, Sheridan out to Wadsworth. Your forecast? Mostly sunny to start, then after 2 o'clock, going to see the clouds roll in, scattered thunderstorms, heavy winds and rain. Look for a high around 92, right now 70 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
I've been to Sonic for the new Cherry Limeade Chiller, a cherry limeade blended with creamy vanilla soft serve. Try a Strawberry Limeade Chiller or Classic Limeade just in time for the heat of summer. It's not just good, it's Sonic good.
AM 760 and CBS News bring you... Enjoy the summer on your outside deck. The Lumber Guy offers the lowest prices on everything you need to build a new deck or refurbish your existing one. The Lumber Guy has unbeatable prices on popular pavestone and retaining wall blocks. Make your home projects affordable with quality building materials from The Lumber Guy. 40 to 70% savings every day. The Lumber Guy is easy to find at East 50th and Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, right on 50th. Call The Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If The Lumber Guy has it, you will save. In a world where brilliant tech professionals are forced to deal with mindless coworkers,
should this be plugged in?
Incompetent bosses.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to come in on Saturday.
And job sites that don't know tech from dreck.
I said I'm a Java developer. That's got nothing to do with coffee.
There's only one hope for salvation. Dice.com. Dice is the number one technology job board. For over 17 years, Dice has focused exclusively on tech jobs, meaning you won't waste time sifting through the garbage you'll find on other job sites. Go to Dice.com to find thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, DBAs, project managers, systems administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
Existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Colorado National Guard. Aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
.35 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. Here on a beautiful Front Range day. It's in the 60s going up to the 90s today. I'm really enjoying the sun, the clear skies. I've been in China for the last couple weeks, and there's not a lot of sun or clear skies there. An amazing trip. One that makes me appreciate what we have here at home. Really, everything from civil liberties to freedom of speech to not a perfectly clean environment, but certainly a much cleaner environment than the one that we were in. And we're talking about the environment today, this fight between Governor Ritter and Diana DeGette. Ritter telling DeGette to back off a bill that would better regulate oil and gas drilling in Colorado. Who do you think's right, Ritter or DeGette? Ritter saying we can't regulate them in the way that that DeGette wants to, with the stringency that DeGette wants to because of the economy. Who do you think's right? Also, this new directive from the Obama administration, rescinding a directive from the Bush administration that empowered local law enforcement to be the frontline enforcers of federal immigration law. Opponents of that program, of that Bush-era program, had said that it has engendered racial profiling among police forces, local police forces, who are not trained to enforce federal immigration law. Do you think Obama's right to reform this, to weaken it, to basically take back the power for that enforcement to the federal immigration agencies? Or do you think we need as many different levels of law enforcement on the case as possible? 303-713-7600 is the number. We got a couple open lines. 303-713-7600. Lisa in Colorado Springs. Lisa, you're on AM 760.
Hey, David. Glad you're home safely. I'd like to ask you to have the governor on to explain his position. I'd like you to know you need to get up to speed to the price Colorado has paid in having a Republican governor, Owens. He raped public education. He destroyed higher education. We pay such a price for having a Republican governor. We can't afford to do that, and we have to do whatever we need to do to keep Ritter in office. He is... his heart is in the right place, and I don't think it's fair for you just to walk into our state and say, oh, you guys are top heavy in your Democratic Party. We have paid a price that is our kids are going to pay for generations they have just destroyed education in this state, and so, and all sorts of other policies. That's my bottom line.
Well, I apologize for quote unquote waltzing into your state. I've lived here for a couple of years now. I've worked all across the country, and
Don't write off Ritter. He is a good.
Well, I'm not writing him off. I mean, a couple of things. I mean, I think let's disaggregate what you said. I mean, first of all, I think it's a statement of fact that this is a more autocratic Democratic Party institution in this state than there are in many other states. I think that's just a statement of fact. I'm not even making a value judgment on that. I'm literally not passing judgment on that. It's just a statement of fact. The Democratic Party in this state does not like internal debate. I mean, there hasn't been a primary. There's not a primary to Ritter. There's no primary to Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett has never run for political office in his life. And somehow the Democratic Party in this state is so autocratically top down that there isn't any primary whatsoever. Frankly, I think that's – now, I will pass a judgment on that in specific. I think that's pathetic.
And what
I think it's pathetic.
That, David, is that we are so lucky. We've made so much progress. I'm from El Paso County. I grew up in Orange County, California. I tell you what, if you don't build bridges to the business community – you will be written off in this.
You're going off in like 18 different directions here. I mean, you're going off in like 20 different directions. Suddenly we're on talking about building bridges to the business community. I thought we were talking about primaries and the nature of the Democratic Party in Colorado. Let's try to actually have a conversation without going off on wild tangents. The question first and foremost is, does Colorado have a top-down Democratic Party that is autocratic and doesn't like internal debate, doesn't really like democracy? Because that's what a primary is. It's democracy. And the answer is, empirically, yes. Now, should we write off Bill Ritter right now? I think no. Who's writing off Bill Ritter right now? Does Bill Ritter running for governor mean that we should just sit back and applaud as he defecates on labor, as he pushes around a good, solid, Democratic elected official like Diana DeGette on behalf of the oil and gas industry? Respectfully, my answer is no. Now, you may be a sycophant who says that our job as citizens is to simply worship politicians if they have the D behind their name, and you and I can just disagree on that. Now, should the Democrats build bridges to the business community? See how many topics you broached there? Pretty impressive how many tangents you went off on. Should Democrats build bridges to the business community? Sure. Sure they should. I think there's ways to do that. I think universal health care reform, the right kind of health care reform, is good for business, as just an example. So, you know, I don't think we're disagreeing on all that many things other than perhaps the fundamental idea that you seem to think that our role as citizens in Colorado is to simply clap and applaud when any of our elected officials who are running for re-election against the Republicans are doing bad things. I don't think that's our role in a democracy. And I say that having just traveled back from China. Do you know, when you think about what the average Chinese person is allowed to do and not allowed to do in their country because of a lack of liberty, and then you hear somebody like you basically say that it's our job to simply worship our politicians, if we're Democrats, you know, it's kind of sickening, right? The average Chinese person lives in what's called a one-party state, a one-party country, right, where there's not even allowed to be another party. I think our role as citizens in a democracy, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, is to reject that kind of thinking. I vote for Democrats most of the time, but I'm not a one-party voter. Because I don't live in a one-party country. I don't believe a democracy should be a one-party sycophancy. Thanks for your call. Kevin in Boulder. Kevin, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
First of all, I'd like to say with Bill Ritter, I think he definitely needs a primary challenger to get him to be an actual Democratic governor. But the important thing that I called about today, I want to talk about, was last Saturday, we had a big wheel rally here in Boulder. It was a benefit for the St. Joseph's Deaconess Hospital intensive care unit. And it was great and everything, except for someone stole a couple of the big wheels. So I wanted to put a shout out to everyone in Boulder to keep an eye out for a couple of adult size tricycles that look like they escaped from the kinetics. One of them is a green machine. I don't know what the other one is called.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah. But if you find one, go to bigwheelrally.com and let them know. Or in, if we can't find them, I'd like to ask people to donate to be able to replace those machines, because it probably, I know if I lost mine, it would be about $200. But I'm guessing maybe $500 loss on this.
No, it's a real bummer, man.
Yeah. And if I haven't seen any of the video yet, but it's a blast.
What's the name of the website again?
Bigwheelrally.com.
Bigwheelrally.com. All right, yeah. Man. Thanks for the call.
If you see me on there on any of the videos, I'm the one with the big American flag.
So. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
John in Denver. You're on AM 760 Progressive Talk. John.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I was thinking, you know, in the past, your show has really put a lot of weight behind certain candidates, as, you know, all Democrats. And how about the next election picking somebody in the Green Party or something and just really promoting them, like for governor or something?
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, I, my views on third parties are a little bit nuanced. I think that that third parties are a good thing. I think that the most successful third parties in the country have been ones that have focused really, really locally first, state legislators, city council, et cetera, that it takes a long time to work up to running a real viable challenge for a major statewide office. I'm not saying that those aren't valuable, but my point is that if you look at, you know, the Progressive Party in Vermont, you look at the New Party in Montana a couple years back, they made their best strides by starting really, really local. You know, I think that Ralph Nader, for instance, his runs for president were counterproductive. In the sense, not because they necessarily took away votes from Democrats. I don't buy that argument. I think the people who voted for Nader probably weren't going to vote for Democrats anyway. I think they were counterproductive in the sense that they tried to say to the American people that third-party politics is only important at the highest of levels, when in fact third-party politics can really be most impactful and impressive at a local level. And I have a whole chapter in my book, The Uprising, about that. And, you know, I'm all for... I'm all for as many different parties in the political process as possible. I just think that with limited resources, it's more incumbent on third parties than any other actors to use their resources as wisely and as locally as possible, where they can actually win. But I'll be clear. You know, I'm for as many parties as possible, and I say that because I'm a Democrat. And by Democrat, I mean small D Democrat.
Yeah.
We are not using the privileges of our democracy nearly as much as we should be by allowing ourselves and just saying we should be living in a two-party duopoly. So I agree with the spirit of what you're saying. Absolutely. John, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thanks.
847, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. Two issues right now that we're talking about. Governor Ritter telling Diana to get to back off her bill to regulate the oil and gas industry, saying that it will hurt the economy. What do you think? Who's right, the Get or Ritter? And then the Obama administration moves to weaken a directive from the Bush administration telling local law enforcement to be the ones to enforce federal immigration law. Opponents of that Bush-era program say that it's engendered racial profiling. Who do you think's right on that? Do you want your local police with their hands full with property crime and violent crime? You want them focusing on enforcing immigration laws, or do you think that should be the purview of the federal government? 303-713-7600, couple open lines here. Again, 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in here today and tomorrow for Jay Marvin. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is starting to clear up for us, except for a few areas, but those are the normal spots. Northbound I-25, heavy out of Castle Rock, Founders Park, right where the stop-and-go begins. Not going to break loose till after Castle Pines. Northbound side also sluggish now from Emerson up to 6th Avenue. Southbound side really starting to improve. The heaviest jams right now is after the I-70 curve, taking you past Spear Boulevard. Things also clearing. Westbound 36, Sheridan to Broomfield. Speeds also increasing on eastbound 6th Avenue, coming in from Federal onto 25. But no accidents out there. Been a pretty quiet morning as far as accidents concerned. The major one was an early one, northbound side of 225 at Mississippi. But nice and quiet commute going on for us right now. Your forecast today, mostly sunny in the morning. Then it's going to be mostly cloudy this afternoon. Windy as well. Possible rain and scattered thunderstorms. Highs in the lower 90s. Right now, 71 in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ryland Homes is holding its 16-hour super sale this weekend. You only have 16 hours from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. this Saturday and Sunday to receive an incredible deal on a brand new Ryland home. Visit Ryland.com for details. Dr. Bates.
Hi, this is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Solar now and get free electricity for a year. Learn how to take advantage of rebates and tax incentives that reduce the cost of solar by up to 60%. Now for the first time. Go solar with no down and no interest for up to 18 months with independent power systems same as cash financing. Learn how. Wednesday, July 15th, 7 p.m. at the Westerly Creek Elementary School. That's Wednesday, July 15th, 7 p.m. at the Westerly Creek Elementary School. RSVP at solarips.com/stapleton.
You switched your old synthetic oil for Castrol Edge. That's thinking with your dipstick. You like that Castrol Edge has 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1. That's thinking with your dipstick. You enter a 15-round cage match against Smasher. That's not thinking with your dipstick. Think with your dipstick. Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Learn more at yourdipstick.com.
5W30s tested in industry standard sequence 4A wear test.
1-800-426-7119. When you call this number, you're going to get free information that holds the secrets the banks don't want you to know. Free information that lets you pay less than you owe. 1-800-426-7119. Come on, you only have so much money, so stop throwing it away. Get your free information now. 1-800-426-7119. This is a limited time offer, so call today. 1-800-426-7119.
A51 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin on a beautiful Front Range day. I'm just back from China. It was one heck of a trip. There you go. Is a nice Chinese gong to open the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, even though dojo is a Japanese term. But, I guess I was in that part of the world. We're talking about immigration. We're talking about environmental politics. Governor Ritter on the environmental score telling Congresswoman DeGette to back off her bill to regulate oil and gas. Drilling practices here in Colorado. What do you think about that? And the Obama administration rescinding effectively the Bush administration edict that empowered local law enforcement to be the frontline enforcers of federal immigration laws. Who do you think is right? 303-713-7600. Dave in Boulder. Dave, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, man. Normally I like to just sit back and listen to Jay, and I normally don't call in, but I'm calling in because, that is the issue that's really dear to me, and I want to make a comment on both Ritner and the immigration. First of all, we need environmental constitution for people, for these environmental criminals who are so willfully willing to break laws that will put our health and our children at risk. And just the idea that you would even fathom to do something like that, we should have prisons and laws prepared to deal with that. But we don't. And as long as, you know, they understand that we're not playing hardball, they're going to put it to us. And that's just how that is. It's always have been that way.
You're going to get no disagreement from me on that. I think this idea that that regulating the industry that is extracting the environment, the natural resource riches of our state, which we know are incredibly valuable, regulating those folks, the idea that regulating them is bad for our economy or will hurt our economy, doesn't make sense. It does not make economic sense in the sense that we know the oil and gas in the ground is worth a lot.
Well, when politicians lie, it never makes sense. You know, that's the tradition of politics and trying to maneuver their policies and get their way with the taxpayers. But until we have an environmental constitution and have laws that imprison these people for putting our children at risk, it's almost like they will put a gun to your child's head and say, if you don't vote, we'll pull the trigger. Because these things are risk takers without help. And it seems as if they don't care about that.
Yeah, and we're talking about water supplies, drinking supplies. I mean, everybody's seen that movie, what was it, A Civil Action. Remember that movie and that book? Remember when it was actually James Gandolfini, right? It was Tony Soprano. He's looking at the water coming out of his tap, and then he's looking at his kids. I mean, this is what we're talking about.
And you know, and it's a sad thing, but I hate to say this, but we have so many classic passive people in the state of Colorado, and it seemed like, you know, if we're pleasing people on the consumption level, then on the health issues and other things that give you the, you know, the health to enjoy consuming, you know, we seem to turn a blind eye to. But on the thing of immigration, with the cops being involved, I totally think we need more cop involvement with enforcing the laws of immigration. But I think we have a problem with just having too many white cops. I think that is an issue. We need more diversity in the police department. It's almost as if, you know, one group determines, you know, to enforce laws. And as long as we have that problem, we're going to have racial profiling and so forth, so on, you know.
Well, I think, look, I don't know the stats, the ethnic and demographic breakdown of the local police forces here. I just don't know it off the top of my head, but I will say this. I think you're absolutely right in the sense that the more diverse a police force you have, the better chance you're going to have a police force that represents and is sensitive to a very diverse community. I mean, this is a very diverse community here, and we need a police force that represents that diversity. Now, again, I don't know the stats, and perhaps the stats show that the police force does pretty well represent that. I just don't know the answer to that, but I think it's undeniable that a diverse police force is required to have it represent a diverse community. Hey, thanks for the call, man. All right, last call for this hour. Let's go to Vince in Commerce City. Vince.
How you doing, David?
Good.
Apologies to John. I called him Kirk instead of Turk.
anyway. Captain Turk. Captain Kirk.
Hey, listen, both points. I have a little bit. Number one on the Obama's action. I think all you do is point to what a local authority did in Arizona as far as the Minutemen goes, and it gives you, you know, some concern right away. I don't believe, I'm not saying that states can't aid in that. Obviously they can, but I mean, when the hype was really out there on immigration for that year, and you had this knee-jerk reaction to form pots,
Vince, I got to cut to a break. Sorry about that, but I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. Thanks for the call, man. Sorry I had to cut it short. All right. Stick around. We'll do more after the top of the hour.
J. Marvin, if I know about something great, you know I have to share it. And that's how I feel about Rocky's Autos. Let me give you some reasons why you should shop at Rocky's Autos. Number one, they're locally owned and operated, and they care about the community that they do business in. They're big supporters of AM 760 and have been big supporters of my show. And I thank them for that, and I think you should patronize people locally who do spend their hard-earned money to advertise. Second of all, they have the largest selection of clean, late-model, previously owned vehicles in all of Colorado. These things are great, the selection is great, and you're bound to find something that you like. Plus, you get more bang for your auto buck. You know, you go buy a new car, oh, it smells great, and all of that. But the minute you drive it off the lot, hey, price of it sinks like a rock. Rocky's Autos, drop by and see any of my friends at Rocky's. I guarantee the shopping experience will be a good one. Check them out on the internet at rockysautos.com. That's Rocky's Autos at the historic location of 63rd and Federal. You just can't miss it. Just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Bob Fuss, live on Capitol Hill, where Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor has begun her confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Listening right now to 19 senators make opening statements. Democratic Chairman Pat Leahy began by saying Sotomayor is well qualified and warning Republicans not to go too far.
As we proceed, let no one distort the judge's record. Let's be fair to her and to the American people by not misrepresenting her views.
But the committee's top Republican, Jeff Sessions, came out swinging, saying her belief that her background affects her judging is a sign of bias and railed against the idea it's a good thing for a judge to have empathy for people.
And I fear that this empathy standard is another step down the road to a liberal, activist, results-oriented, relativistic world.
At one point, the hearing was briefly disrupted by an anti-abortion protester.
The police will remove that man.
He was removed, and the opening statement went on. Democrats generally praising Sotomayor, Republicans warning against what they call activist judges. I'm Bob Fuss, live on Capitol Hill. Now, with more CBS News, here's Nick Young.
Well, last year, there were a record 143 suicides in the ranks of active duty troops. And the woman who heads the Army's Suicide Task Force points the finger of blame at the brass. Brigadier General Colleen McGuire says young officers aren't being trained to monitor the mental health of their troops day to day. The University of Utah's David Rudd says the strains of combat are bound to show.
Over time, you see the psychiatric casualties just like you see the medical casualties in terms of injuries and wounds and death. And so ultimately, we're seeing that cycle to some degree.
President Obama is set to introduce his choice for Surgeon General live to the White House, and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
And the president will name Alabama family physician Regina Benjamin to be the nation's top doc. A White House official says the announcement will come at a Rose Garden ceremony within the hour. Dr. Benjamin has a compelling story. She made news following Hurricane Katrina. She rebuilt her badly damaged rural health clinic. She became the first black woman to head a state medical association. If confirmed by the Senate, Dr. Benjamin will lead the public health service and set government policies on key health issues, Nick.
Well, one of three Indiana prison escapees has been nabbed in the southwestern Michigan town of Grand Beach. The town's police chief says two of the men were spotted in town. One was caught this morning by a security guard for Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, who has a vacation home there. Two of the escapees were serving sentences for murder, the other for rape. Two men are in custody on murder charges connected with the killings of Bird and Melanie Billings, well-to-do Florida panhandle couple known for adopting a dozen children with learning disabilities. Escambia County Sheriff David Morgan says the why of the crime hasn't been determined.
We are developing, as with many things in this case, multiple motives.
Authorities say more arrests are expected and more charges could be added. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 74 points. This is CBS News.
Being Ready, a true story from Farmers Insurance. Ricky, a farmer's client.
I'm a fireman. I'm gone 2 to 4 weeks at a time.
Maureen Martinez, a farmer's agent.
We had a discussion about what he wanted to protect that helps me to build a comprehensive insurance package.
Being prepared is the number one thing you need to do.
Are you this ready? Get to know a farmer's agent today. For auto, home, business, or life insurance, visit Farmers.com, because ready feels good.
This is Charles the Osgood File for Bose. The Bose Wave Music System, small enough to fit on a shelf, yet it feels like you're at a live performance. Forbes FYI says it sounds like a system that costs five times more. Visit Bose.com/enjoy or call 1-800-556-9013 for a 30-day risk-free trial and receive free shipping. Add the optional multi-CD changer for hours of uninterrupted listening. Well, ask about easy financing options with no interest charges for Bose. 1-800-556-9013.
I'm David Cale with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado's Republican gubernatorial primary has another horse in the race. Senate Minority Leader Josh Penry announcing he's in this weekend in Grand Junction.
People are frustrated with the Republican Party. They're ready to turn the page and make a clean break.
That's Penry this morning. He would be the state's youngest ever governor. The lawsuit was filed at a dozen years ago. Finally, soil cleanup work will begin in a North Denver neighborhood. The suit against ASARCO accused the company's smeltering plant of contaminating yards in Globeville. Crews are scheduled to begin the final removal of arsenic contamination. Some residents have been unable to grow plants or flowers. The remediation includes scraping away several inches of soil and replacing it with new sod. Sports: Rockies win yesterday over the Braves 8-7. They're off for the All-Star break. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where three cars mixed it up on the ramp from southbound I-25 as you were trying to access eastbound I-70. Could be responsible for late delays that we are seeing there, but it sounds like they made quick work of it and got it out of your off the highways, rather. Now we're getting word of a new accident. This is also on the southbound side of I-25, right around 38. That one sounds minor as well. Leftover heavy pockets, 225 on the approach to Yosemite, making your way towards I-25. Slowdowns as you're heading north on I-25 out of Castle Rock, but those should start to break loose here in the next minute or two. On the other hand, where things are completely back to normal are on both C-470 as well as westbound 76. Coming up on 74th all the way up to I-25, you're going to find speeds in the 50s and 60s. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
After a legal battle which lasted almost a full year, Project Runway is set to return to screens in August. The main difference will be its location. Instead of airing on Bravo, season 6 of Runway will have a new home, Lifestyle. Despite its new location, the show promises fans the exact same show they know and love. The new producers or network bosses didn't want to change a thing.
Gentlemen.
Actress Demi Moore has reportedly offered Scottish singing sensation Susan Boyle close to $50,000 to sing at her and Ashton Kutcher's fourth wedding anniversary later this year. A source close to the couple has revealed that they think that Susan is absolutely brilliant and that she would eat Ashton alive if she got her hands on him.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
24 world-renowned chefs, each battling for the title Top Chef Master. Yes, Bravo's Top Chef has a spin-off show, and it's just as tasty as the original. This time, though, the chefs don't have to live together. They just have to cook together, against each other, navigating waters similar to those experienced by their less experienced Top Chef predecessors. These guys are pros, though, so it should all be smooth sailing, right?
Cities that you hear so much about in the American media, you know, the China economic miracle that you hear about, Hong Kong, Beijing. We didn't go to Shanghai, but you hear a lot about Shanghai now. And we visited Hong Kong and Beijing, and the trip started out in Hong Kong. And it was, you know, Hong Kong is a very, very modernized city. It's probably because it's been a under European and specifically British control for the last many years. Only until the last 10 years has it been fully under Chinese control. And then we went from Hong Kong, which I highly recommend if you're ever in that part of the world to go to. You don't have to be a super traveler to have a good time in Hong Kong. By contrast, we took a flight to Guiyang, which is the capital of the poorest province in China, a province called Guizhou. Very few tourists ever go there. Very few reporters ever go there. It's in the southwestern interior part of the country. Very few tourists or reporters really go to the interior of the country. And we suffered from pretty serious culture shock. We were the only Westerners we saw the entire time we were there. Guiyang is a small city by Chinese standards, about the 130th largest city in China, and it had 5 million people. It's a mining city, a coal mining city, and it really at times felt like we were at the end of the world. It really felt like we were on the set of a science fiction movie about a post-apocalyptic world. No environmental laws, huge throngs of crowds, crushing poverty, massive inequality. I mean, it was great. We met some great people out there, really, really great people. And we saw some, there were some beautiful sights to see, certainly, but it was also a pretty chilling place to be in terms of where our world may be going. It was physically difficult. It was a physically difficult part of the trip. It was not for the faint of heart. These are places that are not up to Western standards in terms of hygiene and sanitation, indoor plumbing, that kind of thing. So it was a tough run. And then we went to Beijing, which is, if I had to recommend a place for any tourist to go, I'd recommend it even more than Hong Kong, in the sense that it's a nice mix of it has modern amenities, but it's also managed to preserve its completely Chinese character. You know, a lot of cities across the world, in Europe, for instance, and in lots of different parts of the world, Western pop culture, European and American pop culture, and commerce sort of dominates a lot of cities across the world. Not in China, and that's, I think, because of a mix of two things. One, you've got the Chinese Communist Party, which censors pretty heavily the media and entertainment sector there. And China is also a very nationalistic country. I mean, China has roughly a billion and a half people. It is a country that has a history of looking inward, in the sense, by that I mean a very prideful country, a country that believes, rightly so at this point, that it is a superpower. You know, a lot of other countries seem to revolve around the United States, not China, not at all. And so Beijing is a really go where you can get modern amenities, but you really get a sense of Chinese culture. It has not been kind of big boxed, if you will. And so I recommend it. I recommend it highly. It was a great experience. The only thing that it's done in a negative sense is that when you go to China, it's a real information bubble. I mean, the censors in China, CENSORS, the censorship in China really means we didn't get any news about anything. I mean, there were riots in China when we were there, and we didn't hear anything about it. In fact, and I'm posting a number of dispatches from our trip now. I'll be posting them starting this week on my blog at www.openleft with photos and video about our trip from a progressive perspective. You know, a lot of people, as I mentioned in one of the dispatches, a lot of people there don't even know about the Tiananmen Square massacre at all. They know nothing or almost nothing about the Tiananmen Square massacre. Now, that sounds crazy to us, because when most Americans think of Chinese history, many Americans think of the Tiananmen Square massacre. But in a country that heavily regulates what can be put on its airwaves and its newspapers and magazines and on its radio stations, most people don't even know what happened at Tiananmen. Unless you were there, unless you witnessed the massacre, you probably only heard, if you heard anything, you heard only the Chinese government's take on it, which of course was a highly propagandized take. They basically claimed that a small group of terrorists tried to take over the capital in Beijing, when of course we know what really happened. You know, millions of pro-democracy protesters came out and protested, and about people were killed. So we were really in this media vacuum. I didn't hear anything about the riots in China. I didn't hear anything about what was going on in Iran. I mean, we got off the plane in Toronto. We were connecting to a flight from Beijing to Toronto back to New York. And in Toronto, there's a, because it's Canada, it's next door to us, we have a, you're allowed to go through American customs in Toronto, and the customs official from the U.S. government, his first thing he said to us was, so did you hear about the riots? And we said, well, what riots? He said, oh, it's been all over the news, the riots in China. We said, no, we turn on the TV in China and you get nothing but, the most Western news we got was that Michael Jackson died. So I've been in a bit of a news vacuum. I've been trying to catch up. Last night I was perusing the news here, and came up with, the two most compelling stories, I think, of the day beyond the Sonia Sotomayor hearings that are starting off today. Not much to say about the hearings because they're just starting right now. And the senators, as you heard in the CBS News update, they're spending the first few hours being gas bags with their opening statements. So it's going to be hours and hours of quote-unquote opening statements before any news comes out of that hearing. The two most compelling stories, I think, today are, first, this fight between Governor Bill Ritter and Congresswoman Diana DeGette. Ritter telling DeGette to back off her bill to better regulate what's called hydraulic fracturing or fracking in the oil and gas industry. Ritter saying that DeGette's bill would potentially hurt the oil and gas industry in this bad economy. DeGette backing off. What do you think about that? I've never bought this idea that regulation is bad for the economy when done correctly. So I'm pretty disappointed in this. What do you think? Do you buy Ritter's argument? And in, full disclosure, coming back from China and seeing in a very real way the effects of no environmental regulation on a country, I've been asking when I read this story, what's the point of growing the economy if you're going to destroy your environment in the process? Right? And frankly, just from a biological perspective, you need a functioning environment before you need a functioning economy. Now, and that may sound radical a second, but it's not, right? You need air to breathe and water to drink before you need a good economy. I mean, that's just basic biology. And so I don't believe that these two forces, the economy and the environment, have to be at odds with each other. And I certainly don't think they're at odds with each other in this issue. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Then the Wall Street Journal reports on this controversial directive coming out of the White House today. The Obama administration's Department of Homeland Security reforming and basically rescinding a Bush-era directive that had local law enforcement enforcing federal immigration laws, opponents of the plan saying that local law enforcement officials are not adequately trained to deal with enforcing federal immigration laws, and many people have said that it's resulted in local law enforcement racially profiling their communities. Who do you side with? Do you think we need as many hands on deck as possible, including local police, to enforce federal immigration laws? Or do you think the Obama administration is right? Do you think this should be the purview of the specially trained federal immigration agencies? 303-713-7600. Robert, Dan, and Ron, hang on. We'll get your calls after the break. We got one open line, 303-713-7600. Your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Got a late crash on southbound I-25 right around 38th Ave, so that's causing some delays. That's a heavy spot. Already seeing stop-and-go conditions back past 58th Avenue. Also sluggish and slow. Speeds in the teens and 20s, southbound 2 1/4. Parker Road down to the I-25 interchange. And if you're traveling to Boulder on the turnpike, you're going to see some heavier volumes. Westbound side mostly, Sheridan out to Wadsworth, and starting to improve on northbound I-25 and Castle Rock. Speeds popping back into the 50s there, but still going to be a little slow for you, tapping the brakes from Emerson Street up to 6th Avenue. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy this afternoon. Good chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs in the lower 90s. Right now, we're already at 76 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't miss the CalSpas Factory Overstock Liquidation Sale. Save thousands on... Dragonfly Eco Goods, Denver's newest green living store, is more than an in-store. It's a destination for the environmentally conscious shopper. With products like handmade jewelry made from 100-year-old bottles to cards that can be planted to bloom into wildflowers, you can find something green for you or your home. Visit DragonflyEcoGoods.com or stop in at the corner of 32nd and Tejon and mention this ad to receive 20% off your first purchase. Dragonfly Eco Goods, making green a part of your life.
Hello?
If your brain's not responding to the signals that you're fooled, you'll probably continue eating.
Come on, don't be that way.
Eating and eating some more. With Leptothen, you get the message. You are full.
Oh, finally.
Visit GoGetThin.com. That's GoGetThin.com. Or call 888-700-DIET. And for a limited time, buy two bottles of Leptothen and get one free.
Into your business, there were a lot of people with you, standing by your side as you followed your dream. But now that you're established, who's with you? At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need help. With our business financial review, we'll evaluate your business's needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Go solar with Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Mr. Cab Driver, won't stop to let me in.
920 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Open phones here in the last hour. On a beautiful Monday, I'm just back from China. Weigh in on the Ritter-DeGette fight. And or the Obama administration's move to take back power from local law enforcement and say that enforcing immigration law is a federal matter. What do you think about these news stories of the day? 303-713-7600. Ron in Denver. Ron, you're on AM 760.
Hey, Dave, and welcome back.
Thanks.
Hey, I had a friend of mine's son went to China on a student exchange thing about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and he said, he from what he gathered, you know, it was they were given a dog and pony show, you know, and he says he had the feeling they were watched all the time. What was your feeling?
Well, I felt exactly the opposite, actually. By this I mean, when we were in interior China, I felt like nobody. That if we were noticed at all, that we were, you know, passersby would look at us as if they had never seen a Westerner ever.
Well, he mainly went to Peking, Beijing, Shanghai.
How long ago did he go?
About 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, I in all honesty, I felt exactly the opposite. By this, I mean, most passersby seemed to look right through us, knowing that we probably couldn't speak their language. And if we got looked at, a lot of people, you know, asked to take their picture with us because, they had never probably seen a Westerner before in some of the places we were in. In Beijing, actually, this was pretty interesting. You have to security, like a security checkpoint to get into Tiananmen Square. But here's the thing, and into the subways, by the way. But here's the thing. They didn't ask foreigners, Westerners, to go through the security checkpoint. And what's fascinating about that is that basically what they're admitting by that is that they believe that their domestic, the Communist Party believes its domestic population is more of a threat to the Communist Party than any possible security threat a foreigner could be, right? And that, you know, that the Communist Party is more worried about Chinese people organizing in a place like Tiananmen Square than a foreigner doing something in Tiananmen Square. It's a very paranoid admission, I think, by the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, I did recently, just for the heck of it, with a friend of mine on our computer, you know those satellite maps they have on Google?
Yeah.
Where you get the photos.
Right.
You can circle down to almost a pack of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at Lhasa, Tibet, and it'd be surprised the number of portable trailer barracks that were there and the military presence there just by looking at the satellite thing.
Oh, yeah, man. You know what we heard from Peace Corps folks that we know, who we stayed with there, you know, is that Tibet, as opposed to the rest of China, Tibet, you know, we didn't see very much evidence of government at all in China, anywhere, really. I mean, I was going there, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be like a police state, you'll see the government everywhere, and you barely see the government anywhere. In fact, the criticism, or the concern that I had was that in a place like Guiyang, you don't see any police, nothing. There's no order or rhyme or reason at all. But in Tibet, what we were told is that it's exactly the opposite. It's like a military occupation. It's really, really, really repressive.
Well, you know, you're talking about the countryside. If they don't have the government presence, do they have like little nosy neighborhood housewives or the gossips?
Well, the one thing,
and then they report it.
Yeah, the one thing is about that is that we were told, and I think this is true, that there are a lot of undercover police people, that there are a lot of plainclothes police people. In fact, somebody told us that something like one out of every 10 people in Tiananmen Square, for instance, is a plainclothes police officer, which I wouldn't be shocked by. The Communist Party is interested in one thing. It's not interested in ideological communism at all. It's interested in preserving the power of the Communist Party. Hey, Ron, thanks for the call, man. 924, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In a few minutes, we're going to get an update from the Sonia Sotomayor hearings. In the meantime, we'll continue taking your calls. Open phones. We've been talking about the spat between Governor Ritter and Congresswoman DeGette over oil and gas drilling. We've been talking about the Obama administration's new edict taking back some of the immigration enforcement power from local law enforcement. The Bush administration had empowered local law enforcement to enforce federal immigration laws. Opponents of that move said that it was going to engender racial profiling among police departments not adequately trained to enforce such immigration laws. Now the Obama administration basically rescinding that Bush-era law. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. And if you have any questions about my trip to interior China, the part of China where tourists and reporters barely ever go, feel free to fire away. 303-713-7600. Dan in Lakewood, you're on AM 760. Dan.
David, glad you're back.
Thanks.
Hey, John did a great job the last few weeks. He was wonderful.
Yeah, man, that's all I've heard from people who've been listening.
He was wonderful. Hey, you know what? I'm listening to you and watching the Sotomayor confirmation hearings, and my observation about this is, well, you got to love the diversity in our Senate. And I'm not just saying that racially. I'm looking at it age-wise. And when you look at the ages of most of these senators, it sure would be nice to see people in the 50-year-old range or 40-year-old range. And I think, you know, you've got this thing where you have an age requirement of 30 to be in the Senate.
Right.
They should have a restriction on how long you can be in it. If you can make age, that's kind of like age discrimination.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is really true. I mean, the lack of diversity, and I think you're right to include age, is really incredible. Now I think that I think that you don't want, I mean, I think you want elders, if you will, but I think you're right. It's not, we're not talking about having 20-year-olds in there.
No, we're talking
about people, right, 40, 50, you know, those people barely exist in the U.S. Senate. And I think, unfortunately, what that creates is it makes the Senate into this institution that continues to enforce the last generation's values rather than being fully representative of everybody's values.
Look at Robert Byrd and Ted Kennedy. They're so old they can't even show up to the meetings.
Well, and you know, I don't want to pick on any individual because, look, Ted Kennedy, I'm glad he's still there. Right. I mean, but I agree with you as a matter of principle. I think you're right. This is in part, I think, why an institution like the U.S. Senate lags public opinion. Right. Because as the public matures, the general public matures and changes its views, the Senate is still chock full of incumbents who were originally elected on the views of potentially yesteryear. Now I want to be clear though. Some senators are able to change, right? I mean, some senators are able to change with the times. I mean, I think, you know, Ted Kennedy is an example of somebody who I think, you know, he remains a progressive, but he's not some, you know, the things that he pushes are not some antiquated version of like Trent Lott pushing segregation, right? I mean, I think there's a difference there. But I do agree with you. It's not a diverse institution, and its lack of diversity, I think, is clearly going to make it particularly interesting to watch them deal with a nominee whose career is in part about diversity. Thanks for the call, man. 9:29, I'm David Sarda filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760. We'll take one quick call before we get a quick update from the Sotomayor hearings. Let's go to Robert. Robert in Erie. Robert, you got about a minute.
Yes, sir. I'm out here in Erie. They're drilling wells all over the place. And you wouldn't believe the tanks. I mean, huge, great big red tanks with hazardous waste signs on them that they're pumping down in the ground. Why can't they get a news outfit when they first start a well and when they finish a well and show what's going in the ground and all this stuff to the people? I mean, I worked at Rocky Flats. They did real terrible things out there. Poured carbon tetrachloride all over the ground. It didn't matter when they leave, and then all of a sudden it's the hazardous waste place.
Right, and
that has to be shown to the American people, because this earth is a great big huge filter.
Yeah, and I think you know, again, I want to go back to the idea that I don't think it's an either or, right? I don't think either we protect the environment or we build our economy. They've got to be both, right? I mean, we've got to do both. Especially when we're talking about something like fracking, which impacts water supplies. Water supplies impact our economy. If we could have the greatest production of natural gas and oil in America as a state of Colorado, but if our water supply is destroyed, we won't have an economy at all. Thanks for the call, man. All right, we're going to go to a quick CBS News update live from the Sonia Sotomayor hearings.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Dave Barrett. At the Sonia Sotomayor Supreme Court confirmation hearing, Iowa Republican Charles Grassley.
President Obama's empathy standard appears to encourage judges to make use of their personal politics, feelings, and preferences.
And Grassley said,
this is contrary to what most of us understand to be the role of the judiciary.
Fellow Republican John Kyle of Arizona.
The factors that will influence her decisions apparently include her gender and Latina heritage, and foreign legal concepts that, as she said, get her creative juices going.
But on a day when Sotomayor will take no questions, the 19 senators are making their opening statements, New York Democrat Charles Schumer countered,
Judge Sotomayor puts rule of law above everything else.
Earlier, one person in the hearing room jumped up and shouted something about abortion. He was let out of that room by police. CBS News Special Report, I'm Dave Barrett.
.9 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Three topics of the final half hour here of the broadcast. The spat between Governor Bill Ritter and Congresswoman Diana DeGette. The Obama administration's new controversial ruling on immigration policy. And if you got any questions for me about my trip to China, I went to the parts of China that you don't hear much about, that most tourists never go to, most reporters never go to. The interior was like a trip to the set of a post-apocalyptic sci-fi movie. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. We'll get a traffic update, and then your calls from John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still working his crash southbound I-25 at 38. That's the only blip on our radar right now, but speeds are going to be really slow for you heading out of Northland and Thornton coming into downtown. 58th past Park Avenue is where you're going to hit these snags. Other than that, back in the 50s and 60s on 225, C-470, the Turnpike, and all the major highways around Denver and Boulder. We do have some construction now, though, on Colfax. Single-lane closures either direction between Kipling and Sheridan. Got some rotomilling and paving projects going on there. Also, got some closures. County line at between Lucent and Santa Fe going to be shut down for you, so got to look for a alternative route there. Your forecast, mostly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy this afternoon. Good chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs going to be in the lower 90s. High of around 92 is what they're looking for. Right now, we're at 78 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Earning your career-focused bachelor's, master's, or doctorate degree can be an achievable reality with Colorado Technical University. Study online, on campus, days, nights, or weekends. Call CTU at 888-269-1555 or click coloradotech.edu.
I understand the passion, brother.
Mario's. Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
Would you like to reduce your carbon footprint and get free electricity for a year? Now, for the first time, go solar with no down and no interest for up to 18 months with independent power systems, same as cash financing. Learn how Wednesday, July 15th, 7 p.m. at the Westerly Creek Elementary School. Did you know that rebates and tax incentives can reduce the cost of a solar system by up to 60%? Join Independent Power Systems Wednesday, July 15th, 7 p.m. at the Westerly Creek Elementary School. Learn how to take advantage of these discounts and how to go solar now with no down and no interest. Save even more when you go solar with your neighbors. Learn how Wednesday, July 15th, 7 p.m. at the Westerly Creek Elementary School. Go to solarips.com/stapleton to RSVP today for the solar community event, or call 303-443-0115. Get free electricity for a year. Go solar with Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
.9 35 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin. 73 degrees now on the Front Range, going up to about 91. Nice clear day. I haven't seen the sun too much. It doesn't show up very much in China. There's a lot of smog, a lot of cloud cover. Thrilled to see the Colorado sun. I know Denver is one of the sunniest cities in America. It's one of the reasons why I moved here. Gary in Denver. Gary, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. How you doing?
Good.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Really enjoy listening to you. I have just a quick story, and we can file this under passive resistance. When I was in China about 6 years ago, we went across the country and spent 4 days in Lhasa, and we were walking around the bazaars around in front of this 14th century temple, and one of the shop people there was selling some goods, so we asked him what was in this one particular barrel, and he said it was the reproductive organ of a yak. And I said, well, what do you do with that? He says, well, it's an aphrodisiac. And I said, does it work? And he said, no, but we don't tell the Chinese that.
Well, you know, China, we ran into so much, I mean, just in terms of the sights and sounds and things that people ate and used for medicine, I mean, we really ran into, like, everything. I mean, I was in a food market where I was offered a live scorpion. Well, they were going to fry it up, of course. We, at one point, picked out a grass carp, a fish that we were going to eat from a tank live, and within, you know, 10 minutes it was on our plate. Pigs' legs, hoofs, chicken feet. I mean, what they eat there is incredible. Now, I will say this. One thing that I was reminded of being in China was, you know, there is a Western, it's not arrogance, but it's a product of our relative opulence that we as a society are able to and decide to eat certain parts of an animal and not other parts of an animal. By that I mean, you know, if you're wealthy or relatively wealthy, a relatively wealthy country, you can decide, well, I want to eat the this part of the cow, but the rest of it I will throw out. You know, in China, they eat the whole animal. And I think that's in part because of necessity. When you don't have as much wealth and opulence and food supply, it's out of necessity that you eat anything that can be a protein source. That makes for some pretty weird eating, that's for sure. And I should say, you know, I'm a vegetarian, so I did my best to avoid meat as much as possible. I still eat fish, so I guess I'm there's a word for that, where you don't eat meat, but you eat fish. So I guess I'm not really a full-on vegetarian vegan. But the point is that when you go to a place like China, you start thinking about how, I guess, lucky you are to be able to decide, well, I'm going to eat this part of the fish, but I'm not going to eat the fish's eyes, right? I mean, it is a commentary on Western society's relative wealth that we're able to make those decisions without imperiling our nutrition. Thanks for the call, man. 939, I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, we're talking about, well, we got open phones, so you want to talk about the Ritter-DeGette spat over oil and gas rules. You want to talk about the Obama administration's decision to take power away from local law enforcement officials, power to enforce immigration laws. The Bush administration had empowered local law enforcement to enforce those laws, the Obama administration basically rescinding that. And if you got any questions for me about my trip to China, happy to take them. Let's go to Jason. Jason in Eagle County.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was just calling in to talk about the oil and gas drilling. I live here on the Western Slope, and I live here in Eagle County. Garfield County's, you know, they do a lot of drilling over there. And I grew up here, man, and you know, I don't have anything against the oil and gas industry. You know, I mean, it runs our country. But what I think, when deregulation happens, I think that oil and gas companies, you know, they look at their bottom line. I don't think they take into account the overall consequences of their actions. That's why I think regulation at some level is necessary, because to allow these guys an unlimited access to our public and federal lands, I mean, the whole country is dotted with cases of abuse by companies who are allowed to roughshod over the interests of the people.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, it's these corporations are in many cases legally obligated to run roughshod. By that I mean, they have a fiduciary responsibility to shareholders to maximize profit, right? They don't have a fiduciary responsibility to look out for the broader community. The executives at publicly traded, for instance, oil and gas companies, the law says that they must maximize profits, right? So if faced with the choice of, we can make more money and pollute the water table, or make less money and protect the water table, they will choose, left to their own devices, by law. They are basically legally and fiduciarily obligated to choose the more profits, right? That's why regulation is so important, because regulation says you have your fiduciary responsibility, but you also have a legal responsibility to follow these set of laws. So your fiduciary responsibility is confined by these laws, whether you can pollute this way or drill that way. So you're right. If you don't have adequate regulations, these companies, when faced with that kind of choice, and those kinds of choices come up all the time, right? That's why companies move to a place like China, right? Because in China, they can dump the chemical in the river. They're allowed to do almost anything they want, right? That's why our country right now doesn't look like the kind of place that I visited in interior China. And so without the regulation, you are almost guaranteeing a future of bad environmental decisions.
I just think that I think it's a kind of a symptom of our society in general where, you know, a corporation that's run by an intelligent person should be sustaining of its own, you know, it should look forward to its future. Like, to me, it seems like there's a moral obligation to not just maximize your profits, but to look after, you know, be a steward of the resources that you're taking.
Yeah, but I agree with that, but here's the thing. You know, this is like, this is what I have problems with is when, you know, pundits or business reporters, they lament, for instance, this is another example, you know, they say, they look at the Wall Street crisis and say, oh, this is not a problem of capitalism or unregulated capitalism. This is a problem of a lack of morals, that the CEOs and the executives, they were immoral. Now, my counter to that is no. Yes, they were immoral, but that's not the fundamental problem. Is that you've got one set of laws that say these companies, their legal and fiduciary responsibility is to maximize profit at all costs. And you have that coupled with no laws that say you can't do X, Y, and Z. You can't manipulate stocks. You can't sell short in a manipulative way, right? I mean, what I'm saying is that yes, these people are immoral, but we as a society cannot rely on morality for corporations to behave properly. They are set up, for better or for worse, to maximize profits, whether they do that in a moral or immoral way. What we need to do as a society is say, here's what you're allowed to do, and here's what you're not allowed to do. And I'm not absolving the people on Wall Street, and I'm not absolving bad actors in the oil and gas industry, but if what they're doing is legal, if we as a society have said what they're doing, the bad actions that they're doing are legal, then really it's our fault. It's our fault as much as it is the CEO's and the wrongdoer's fault. They may be acting immorally, but it's our fault that we didn't make things legal or illegal.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's, like I say, you know, people want cheap gas, and the oil industry says, well, for us to
make cheap gas, we got to have a deregulated market. Right. And the key is to look at a debate like what's going on between Ritter and DeGette and try to cut through that is a nonsensical argument. Right? I mean, the argument that protecting the water supply, protecting the environment, is somehow bad for the economy, that is a false argument. That's the oil industry's false argument that's designed not on the merits of that argument or to push the merits of that argument. It's designed so that they don't have to comply with basic laws. And so we've got to use these moments when these issues come up to cut through that crap and say there is no choice between the economy or the environment. If the environment is destroyed, we have no economy. That is what gets lost when these issues are made into this binary jobs versus the environment. It's just nonsensical, and it's specifically nonsensical when it comes to oil and gas. We know the oil and gas is valuable. We know if we regulate these companies, if one company says, I don't want to follow these regulations, another competitor will be there in 1 second to make money by following the rules and extracting that oil and gas. Hey, thanks for the call, man. 947, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, we're talking about the spat between Governor Ritter and Diana DeGette over oil and gas rules. If you want to weigh in on the Obama administration decision to take some power away from local law enforcement officials to enforce federal immigration law, go right ahead. And if you have any questions for me about my trip to interior China, fire away. I'll be here for the rest of today. And I'll be here tomorrow, so feel free to give us a call, 303-713-7600. You can also go to instant message us at www.am760.net. We will go to one more call before we take our last break of the day. Let's go to Denny in Boulder County. Denny. Hello, Denny. Denny, going once, going twice. Denny. Denny in Boulder County.
I'm here.
Hey, my bad. I pushed the wrong button.
Welcome back.
Thanks, man.
Listen, the position, Jay, is being very well served when you're not here. John Turk is just doing an outstanding job.
He is a hero. That's why we call him Captain Turk, Captain Kirk. A
couple of things. Saturday's paper, Gov rejects low offer.
Yeah, right.
You know.
This is the story, and just to refresh people's memory, there's a big, I think, blockbuster story about how Governor Ritter rejected the Attorney General's offer, the Colorado Attorney General's offer, to do the legal work surrounding the disbursement of stimulus funds at $75 an hour, and the governor instead awarded a no-bid contract to his former law partners at Hogan and Hartson for six times the cost to taxpayers.
$290 to $450 an hour.
Yeah, it's
it's obscene, you know, and it's same, it's no bid contract, no bid contract. Same old, you know, I had hoped that there was a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. There seems to be very, very little.
Yeah, on this score, I mean, this stuff reeks of corruption. I mean, yep. Hogan and Hartson getting a no-bid contract, I mean, it's like got everything, right? It's like he rejected the better offer, an offer from the state. I mean, it's like to give a no-bid contract to his former law partners. I mean, if you inserted Dick Cheney instead of Bill Ritter into this story, you'd believe it. I mean, I can't even believe it. It's hard to believe.
And I do hope that some other day you give like a full program to the Dick Cheney stuff.
The CIA stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm still getting caught up.
Okay. Another headline: Holder considers inquire into torture. You know, where is the change? I just last week I was in Boulder. I changed my affiliation from Democrat to unaffiliated.
I have
no vote when it comes to Udall, Bennett, and the governor.
I agree with you on the torture stuff too. You know, the foot dragging, this idea that it's somehow controversial to look into law breaking just because it happened a year ago or 2 years ago. I mean, it's like. It's controversial, and I mean, it's so supposed to be a nation of laws. Right? It's just ask for us to actually have a government that treats us like a nation of laws. Thanks for the call, man. 9:50. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll take the last of your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, about 10 minutes before 10 o'clock, and traffic's really back in good shape for us now. Speeds in the 50s and 60s on all the major highways, even cleaned up that crash on southbound I-25 around Park Avenue. So things are moving along better there. We do have some construction, though, that might get in your way. I'm going to see it on Spear near I-25, Colfax between Kipling and Sheridan. Both directions are going to see some closures there as they do some rotomilling and paving. Also going to see a closure down in Highlands Ranch. It's on County Line between Santa Fe and Lucent. Your forecast, mostly sunny to start, then after 2 o'clock, going to see those clouds roll in like they have been lately, and going to bring some scattered thunderstorms with wind and rain. A high around 92 today, but right now 78 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado Talk.
Cheaper, better, faster. Denver International Airport has the most parking at the best prices for your summer travel. No coupons needed. Visit flydenver.com or call 303-DIA-PARK for more information.
There is this pervasive meme out there that somehow we need to be terrified.
Hi, this is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $499 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. Today and tomorrow, let's go back to your calls. Let's go to Bill. Bill in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, anything that Obama does to undo Bush, or for that matter Reagan, is for me going to be a pretty good idea. So letting the feds enforce federal law I can live with that.
I agree with you. I think local law enforcement has its hands full with lots of other stuff, and the feds need to do the job that they're supposed to do and not try to offload, by the way, in an unfunded mandate kind of way, the job that they're supposed to be doing to an already stretched local law enforcement apparatus.
And, you know, to undo what the buffoons before him set up, you know, that can just about only be good. Regarding the governor and Diana DeGette, I started out liking Ritter so much. I met him, I visited with him, I liked him. But, you know, based on what I've seen, this just represents another example of a Democrat caving into a Republican. And I didn't see that D by his name with no bid contracts and, you know, some of the other stunts that he's pulled against unions and the like, I'd say that Ritter was a Republican. He doesn't seem like a Democrat at all to me.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's the full story in the sense of this. I think some of the things that Ritter has done that have been good, because they have not raised a lot of conflict, they have not gotten a lot of media attention. So, for instance, he signed a bill that labor really wanted that dealt with this misclassification of workers. You know, companies like FedEx, for instance, will misclassify their full-time workers as part-time workers in order to not pay them benefits. So my point is only that I think some of the good things Ritter has done have not gotten the attention they need to get. That said, I do think that you're right. That every time there's been a high-profile controversy, every single time, except maybe for the time that Ritter extended weakened unionization rights to public employees, but every other time he has sided with basically the conservative Republican base.
Well, maybe calling him a Republican is kind of harsh.
I mean, I wouldn't call him a Republican. I would call him like kind of a worse version, like a more extreme triangulator than Bill Clinton.
Let me share a story. This is a little bit off topic, but you know, I know you're coming to the end of your program, and I'll try and you know get through my points pretty quick. And this has to do with the torture and you know Bush and Dickless Cheney and you know all of that and the idea that we don't prosecute. And I was talking with a young lady that I know, and I told her, well, you know, just imagine that a couple of years ago that I had raped you, and that afterwards I tortured you, and after I tortured you, I robbed you, and then I disappeared, and you found me, and you called the police, and they said, well, let's not look backward. Let's only look forward, and let's not prosecute.
No, that's the exact metaphor, man. That's exactly what's going on. That's what I don't understand. I mean, and by the way, I almost understand it politically from Obama and the administration, meaning I'm not absolving him, but I get like, well, he wants to move forward. Maybe he doesn't see a lot of political electoral benefit to prosecuting the crime. What I don't understand is how that meme, how that narrative has become sort of an accepted assumption in the media, right? Like you see reports in the media where people in the media say, well, you know, they don't want to look back and that's normal and that's acceptable. I mean, that is not acceptable at all. I understand that Obama and the administration, his political people might say, well, there's no political benefit to us for this. But the idea that that's an assumption in the media that we shouldn't look back to prosecute crime. Let me ask you this. Isn't all criminal prosecution looking back, right? I mean, isn't that what all, like, anybody who does a crime then gets prosecuted and the trial is all about looking back and seeing what happened. So the idea that we won't do this because it's Dick Cheney, or we're not supposed to look back, well, if we're not supposed to look backwards, I guess just end the justice system, end the prosecutions. We shouldn't have a criminal justice system. Thanks for the call, man. Liz in Fort Collins. Liz, you're on AM 760.
Hi, and I wanted to let you know I've missed your editorial in the Coloradoan, I really enjoy that on Fridays.
Well, thanks. It's I took a 2-week break, so it'll be back starting on Friday.
Good. And as far as Cheney goes, and I forget the Attorney General's name. What's his name?
Eric Holder.
Yes. He's the one that maybe we should write letters to. Wouldn't he be the one to go after all this?
Well, yeah. I mean, two things. I mean, I think there's a congressional investigatory role. Congress has oversight of the CIA and has subpoena power. And then you also have criminal charges. I mean, I think both tracks need to be pursued if we have a functioning government. And that's, of course, a big if.
Yeah. Well, what I had to say about Ritter was, didn't he support some sort of bill where the state of Colorado was going to quit subsidizing the oil and gas people?
Yes.
And didn't he get beat on that by people?
Yes, he did. And you know what? When he pushed the ballot initiative to rescind the tax breaks, the excessive tax breaks, for oil and gas companies, the oil and gas companies beat him up. And I got to tell you something. I give the guy a lot of credit for pushing forward with that ballot initiative. It took a lot of guts. I just wish we see more stances like that from him. We need more of that, not less of it. Thanks for the call. All right. This has been the show for Monday, July 13th. I'm David Sirota, having filled in for J. Marvin today. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll get right to it then. I'm sure there's going to be more out of the Sonia Sotomayor hearings. Talk to you then.
Want to take your business to the next level? Win $5,000 in advertising for your business.
Probably the best idea I have ever had.
AM760 is offering a small business stimulus package to give your company the kickstart that it needs. Register now on AM760.net. AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.